United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned.
Just a fellow. Ford with a great selection of new Ford luxury models. Federal Ford is taking $6,000 off MSRP of every 2013 Ford Edge and 2014 Ford Taurus in stock. Plus, we include in the start. And financing is never a problem. $6,000 off the 13 Edge and 2014 Taurus. We get approved financing at Ford Credit, and we get 95% of our customers approved. FairwayFord.us, 330-533-FORD. Fairway, that's the way we do business.
This time is personal. Tune in the new stock 600 WSOM for the local talk show that stimulates your mind and relates to you. Weekdays from noon to 3. Afternoons with Tracy and Friends engages the Valley in conversation about everything from local issues to important global topics. Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Personal talk that keeps you thinking. Weekdays from noon to 3. Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
And good afternoon. It is Monday, day before Election Day here in the Mahoning Valley and across the Fruited Plain. How are you? This is Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. Jeff hanging in there for a minute till Tracy gets in and sticks right across from me, holding it down. We're going to talk to you about what's on your mind and give you a little bit of what's on our mind. But we invite you, as always, to voice your view. Give us a call here at 330-781-9600 or 1-347-945-5229. Now, we want you to participate. And on that last number, the 1-347-945-5229, we have a switchboard that's pretty much unlimited. And unlike other talk shows when we hit one person there and then let you go, we don't let you go straight up like that. We kind of hold you in there and so you can recomment later if you so desire. You're not required to, of course, but it's if you so desire. Because a lot of times you end up being on the radio. You know, I was a caller for years to radio stations, and I'd get so upset because I think about something 10 minutes after it's on there. You're only allowed one call a day. You can't call back. Well, we kind of make this a free-for-all because you know what? Above all, we want you to think. We want you to think about what's going on. Think about what we're saying. I don't want you just to call and, you know, I have people on my Facebook that no matter what facts you give them, they always will tell you, screw that report because I lived during that time. Well, you didn't know what the heck was going on, so it doesn't matter. Bless your little heart.
That's right.
Bless. We're not going to tell you what that means. We just, we're going to bless those hearts. Sticks, what's going on, man? How was your weekend?
Well, it was a great weekend. Had a birthday party for my nephew.
Mm-hmm.
Watched a NASCAR race on Sunday. Just a good quiet weekend at home.
That's great. That's great.
How about you?
Well, I was busy. I had a couple engagements. One country club and then two country clubs in a row, but one was for a wedding. Beautiful wedding over in PA.
Oh, good.
But I knew I was in trouble when the And the father of the bride drove up in a Bentley.
Was you in trouble or you was going to get a good tip?
Well, I hope to get a good tip because I got to make sure it's right, you know. And I'm talking about all of us because the guys I play with are absolutely fantastic. Mm-hmm. We are the Sensations, a.k.a. Before as Frankie and the Sensations. And I am the new Frankie right now. And so we have fun with it, and we're a good band. I mean, I'm not saying that because I'm in it. I'm saying that because I've played in some very good bands over the years, but this is one of the best musically and working-wise that I've ever been with. And I really appreciate the guys.
So with the advent of the DJ, is it getting harder and harder and harder for the local bands to make money?
Absolutely getting harder and harder. You can't, you know, because they don't want to pay you. They can pay a DJ a couple dollars. You know, he'll come in and spend all night. Mm-hmm. Well, with us, we have all these, whatchamacallit, he's coming in a Darth Vader suit. What's going on with that? You have all these, you know, guys. We have equipment. We all be quiet. Now, see, here's the thing. They come in here and they make all this noise. Ladies and gentlemen, listen.
Nine after, I was here 10 after.
Listen, I'm going to tell you just what it is. Oh, not nothing. Get your hands off of it. Get your hands off that bag. See, Sticks brought in potato chips from the Shears plant.
My sister lives around the corner from Shears potato chips.
Yeah. So, and then they come in here making all this noise. They think their name is Jeff Green or something. I don't know what's up with that.
They're Jeff Green, and we know how to make a lot of noise.
I don't appreciate this. I'm just telling you.
I did a better Jeff.
Nah.
Wait. Don't make noise anymore.
Make plenty of noise.
No, we don't make noise like that.
Ben, I'm going to disenfranchise you. Well, I know why you guys are having a terrible year.
Why?
Who's we guys?
I got Steelers. What are you wearing?
Oh, Steeler cap, yeah.
Yeah, okay. You guys are having a bad year because you're 2 years behind the Browns. Two games behind the Browns now. The Browns are the only ones that won their division yesterday.
Oh, won in that division.
I know why.
Why?
I'm going to tell you that after
the world's going to end, right?
Sister. No. I got stuff for you. Right. But anyway, I'm going to bring up a caller first. Local caller, you're in the air. What you want to say?
Good afternoon, Jeff.
Hey, buddy.
I want to comment on this Obamacare and who it's going to benefit.
Okay.
The only thing it's going to benefit is all the large corporations that will immediately get rid of their health insurance for everybody. And it's going to come down to state employees and because they've not been exempted. So the state employees will get it, and all of us are going to get this. And this is a fiasco from the start, and it's terrible. And like I've heard on the radio, at the age under the age of 14, you're in jeopardy. And at the age of over 40, you're in jeopardy. So I think that I'm getting close to being in jeopardy. So this Obamacare is not good.
You're much too old, my friend, if you're past 50, to get any kind of help out of Obamacare, okay? Because you will be given the death panel a thumbs down signal like they did with the old Coliseum. That's what they're going to do. They're going to have a big round room, and they're going to have the desk of people sitting up on the side. And when
children under 14,
yeah, but
already said that.
Yeah, but soon as your request for the operation comes through, you're going to have one guy, and he's going to have his thumb up, and then the people won't be screaming, and it's going to go down.
Just like in the old days of Rome, right?
That's
right. Just like the Coliseum.
We're going back. Yeah. We're going back to Romy. So that's where we're going, ladies and gentlemen, and it's crazy.
Well, didn't they say the end of the world was going to come when Rome rose again?
No.
So we just got to bring back the Coliseum and start killing people like Obamacare.
No, they don't need the Coliseum to kill you now.
They're just going to do it by denying you.
Well,
I saw an article this weekend. A guy was talking about he had stage 4 cancer, and because of Obamacare, they dropped his insurance, and he can't see any of his doctors.
Right.
Under the new plan.
Yeah. He has to go get retested again.
Yeah.
Huh? Up under the new plan, and they have to reevaluate his situation for treatment.
Well, my
isn't that lovely?
My insurance.
You know I'm dying, but you got to go test and make sure I'm dying because
right.
you're not sure.
No.
That's right. Turn around so you can be heard.
Yeah.
Talking about.
Okay. Well, that's okay. It sounds good.
Let me tell you what Obamacare did to me. Okay. My insurance went from $325 a month.
Yeah.
Right, which was somewhat affordable. It's still expensive, $325 a month. You know,
that's a car payment. No.
Right. To just slightly over $800 a month.
Oh!
Okay, so there's no way I dropped it. So under the new law, I'm not a criminal.
Yes, you are.
So if I'm a criminal, why don't I just become a real good criminal?
Pay the penalty, man, and then they got to put you on anyway because You can't. I mean, I don't know how much income you have to verify or not verify.
When I told the Cleveland Clinic when they called to verify my appointment, I said, yes, I no longer have insurance. It says, well, we're not allowed to see you.
Oh, no.
What do you mean
they're not permitted by law to see me?
Because of the Obamacare law.
Regardless of how sick I am.
Wow.
Okay? So, I mean, if for whatever reason, if you're in trouble and you need, they cannot, you come to the emergency room and you're going to bleed out and die, if they find out you don't have insurance, they cannot help you legally without.
All of these arguments have been straw man arguments to start with, because anybody with anything pays their doctor bills, because they come after you. They give you to collection agencies. They take you to court. They file liens. And if you don't pay up, eventually your estate does.
Yeah.
And if you don't have nothing,
you're going to have nothing. The government's going
to
this is why. So, you know what? I'm not much of a writer, but the person who takes out Obama is going to have a pen pal for life.
Well, here's it.
Yes.
No. Nobody will be living on that one. Nobody will be living on that.
I'm not much of a writer, but I'll do my best.
Let me tell you, though, you really got some issues going on. And we will discuss these in a second. But I understand the whole situation now.
Jeff, I understand everything.
Yeah, but I didn't know. I didn't understand why Pittsburgh was losing so badly after being.
What?
Yeah, because it connects with Obamacare.
Whoa, wait. No, I thought it was just because they were all old.
No. Did you see how? Wait a minute. I saw a 300-pound back run into Palomalu, right?
Uh-huh.
All Palomalu did was stand there, and the guy bounced off of him like he was a statue or something.
Well,
it don't matter how
he was still
flying across the field.
Yeah, he's lost like not. He didn't lose a step. He lost like a leg.
Well, maybe.
I mean, he's slower than Palomalu now. He's really slow.
He was still flying.
Yeah, but you know he had 3 penalties yesterday.
Yeah,
that cost the Steelers the game, basically.
It sure did. It didn't cost them the game.
It cost them
a couple points.
One of the Browns won. The other Browns lost.
So the Ravens won, huh?
No.
The Ravens won.
The Ravens lost
by 6 points, which put us. Everybody in our division lost except the Cleveland Browns.
Did the Cleveland Browns win?
Yes.
Who did they win?
We beat the Ravens. We beat the Browns. We did our inner team scrimmage. Yeah, that was our inner team scrimmage. We come now. We go for a bye week, and then we come back and we do Cincinnati, who we already beat once. So we should be able to beat them again, which will make us 5-5, which will put us probably as being the top of our division.
So what's a bye week? Is that when they play the gay team?
No.
I saw your Christmas ornament yesterday, Jeff.
What's that?
You said, "Dear Santa, all I want for Christmas is for the Browns to win the Super Bowl."
Yeah, well, this is true. This is true. Browns in the Super Bowl, that's where we headed. Browns in the Super Bowl, we're going to the Super Bowl.
Can we start playing "I'm Dreaming of a Brown Christmas"?
I'm dreaming of a Brown Super Bowl.
No, Jeff.
No, we will never stand up against
New
England.
You can't say just like the one
England.
I used to know, though.
No, yeah, I used to know when I was a little kid, see.
What?
We won division after division.
That was in the 40s. You weren't even a kid.
No, that was in the 60s.
You weren't even a twinkle in your dad's eye.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I was born. Yeah, they go every year.
Yeah, they got
limousines.
They got
season tickets.
Yeah, they got season tickets.
They go every year in limousines.
Yeah, they go every single year.
You know what? I think the Steelers are smart by sitting out this year and not really having a good team this year, because who wants to play in New York in January?
Well, that's not what happened. I'm going to tell you, after this break and Tracy takes her position back over here, I'm going to tell you what happened that really got you, because you're not aware of this.
No, I'm not.
Okay, I know. I know you aren't, because you're baffled.
I'm in the dark.
And neither are the people out there, because
I think all the Steelers fans are in the dark right now. We're not used to this.
But here it is. Jeffrey will once again enlighten you.
Okay.
I will bring wisdom from on high.
But you have to admit, I did a better Jeff than Tracy today.
I don't know about that.
Well, I was here right. She got here before me.
I'm going to have to flip a coin to see which one. Because you guys walk through the door making noise at the same time.
Yeah, well,
That's because we were coalescing, making sure that who could be the better Jeff.
No, well, yeah. I'm glad that you all have tried to come up in life.
Jeff's
I really appreciate
Jeff's my
that.
Idol. I have to. Come on now. I mean, listen. If Jeff was a Steeler fan, he'd be perfect.
Oh no, I could never.
See, that's why you're not perfect.
Never. No, you're not perfect because you need to switch over to the Browns because
why is that?
It's going to be blaspheme for you to not. When
you're,
I finish telling you, I'm explain every bit of it.
Huh?
Oh man, I was so shocked when I heard it. I couldn't believe it.
You were the first one to tell me that Giants existed, and believe it or not, they're in New York.
They're in New York.
You were right
about
that.
San Francisco, too, right?
Yeah, San Francisco.
Yeah, that's only in the summertime.
They're everywhere.
Though. I think they migrate in the winter to New York,
right.
Don't they?
They're everywhere. You know
backwards.
What we do with that joke right there, man?
What's that?
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
That's what I usually do to something that's brown.
We're going to kill a sacred cow today. That's why he's
is
in
his
the
name
stadium.
Obama?
No.
Why not?
We don't need to kill him. He's going down.
Going down with what?
Did you see that we
like
had
Monica
an eclipse
did?
The other day?
Yeah, we got another one coming up.
When's another one coming up? We had one Sunday morning.
We did?
Yeah. Partial eclipse of the sun.
I was sleeping.
Solar eclipse. We already had a lunar, and that's when all the stuff, you
the
know,
lunatics
started
come out.
No, that's when all the other stuff started coming. But now we had a solar, which is a partial solar, which is way more of a thing than anything else. We're going to go to break, though, right now. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. Call us online. Hold on. We'll be right back after these massages. Is that what they are?
It depends if you're in the White House or not.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax.
Fit Family. Unique. Individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. The full cup of love.
Charlie Staples barbecue sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a couple love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Tune in at home, at work, in your car, and online to the Valley's News Talk, AM 600 WSOM.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. The laying of the roses ceremony at the Vietnam War Memorial in downtown Youngstown once again paid tribute to the 100 Mahoning County men killed in action during the Vietnam War. The annual event also honored the three who were prisoners of war or missing in action. The Vietnam Veterans of America Chapter 135 of Youngstown hosts the event each year. A former Boardman High School teacher accused of having sex with a student will be sentenced today. Joe Cleghorn pleaded guilty to having a sexual relationship with a 16-year-old student between 2007 and 2009. The victim came forward after she had a baby. And some parents in Austin Town are concerned about traffic safety on their school district's campus. At a meeting, parents complained about crossing guard safety and that children riding buses were being dropped off at unsafe intersections. The school superintendent asked parents to use patience during those high traffic times. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
The Cumulus Health Club and Gillette Nursing Home in Warren present today's health tip.
Finding a good nursing home takes good research. Every year, health inspection data, staffing, and quality measures are collected on more than 15,000 nursing homes. This data is combined to come up with an overall ranking of 1 to 5 stars. To find the information you need about nursing homes in our area, go to Medicare.gov and click on the Nursing Home Compare tool. Then, print out the nursing home checklist and visit the homes that you're considering. And make sure to ask if they engage in person-centered care and consistent assignment. Person-centered care allows residents to set their own schedules. Consistent assignment means that the same staff members treat the same patients on each shift. This helps reduce mistakes and helps staff members to develop lasting relationships with their residents.
Today's health tip has been brought to you by Gillette Nursing Home in Warren. Our love is homespun. Visit us online at gillettenursing-home.com.
Putting America and our valley back to work. Recognizing local companies and business owners that are generating new ideas and innovative concepts that are helping to lead our valley's workforce in the new economy.
Meredith from InfoCision's Newcastle location talks about what makes InfoCision stand out.
Well, if you just ask one of our employees, they'll tell you the people. We pride ourselves on hiring friendly people who care, and we keep them by maintaining a family-focused policies that let our employees balance their work and home lives. We believe that a happy employee is a great employee. That's why we offer a great benefits package, such as immediate health benefits, paid vacation every 6 months, 401k plan with a company match, competitive pay rates. And we also have, including in our wellness plan, an on-site doctor's office and on-site fitness center in all of our locations.
And how can people apply?
They can use our job hotline at 1-800-210-6269. Visit us online at infocisionjobs.com and apply there.
And this is Tracy and Friends here on the SOM AM 600. It's 28 minutes after the hour of 12 noon. And don't forget about Caribbean Nights. We're going to be at the B&O at 530 Mahoning Avenue, Youngstown, Ohio, on Friday.
Yama.
This upcoming Friday from 9 p.m. until 2 a.m. And the music is going to be by DJ C in NYC, New York City's DJ Swiss Star. Music and food is included in the ticket, and it's $25 per person.
There's no ribs in Caribbean.
Yes, there are.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No rib in Caribbean.
Oh. There is no Caribbean.
No rib in Caribbean.
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 No, it's Caribbean.
C-A-R-I-B.
Caribbean.
And then bean. In fact, it's Caribbean.
There's crib and beans. There's crib beans. Rib beans. There's a car and there's a rib and there's a bean.
Must be from New Orleans then.
Caribbean.
Oh, wait.
Caribbean.
New Orleans.
And actually it's supposed to be Caribbean.
Caribbean Nights.
So tickets are $25 in advance. They want you to call ahead. The number is 330-793-3900. And remember, this is going to be brought to you by Flambeau.
Flambeau.
It is a Caribbean restaurant over, located over in Austin Town on Edge Hill Avenue, right next to Chipper's Bar.
Wow.
And so go over there and say hi. It's located at North Ridge. I got to stop over there and give me some plantains. It just has to happen.
That's Cuban.
Also, yeah, same difference. Plantains.
Listen, those are fried bananas. They're not bananas. I like fried bananas is one thing. Plantains is another, and you have them in Mexican, you have them in Jamaican, you have them in Cuban, and you have them Caribbean. And I am
Caribbean.
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 You say tomato, I say tomato.
Well, you don't know. Caribbean. You don't even have a tan.
Tomato, I say potato.
You don't have a tan. You don't know.
That's because I'm wrapped in a white sheet.
Yes, you are, man. Mm-hmm. You racist SOBU.
With a turban.
Yes. Yes, that is something. Well, you know, you guys were the first ones to sell us into slavery. You know that.
That's why you weren't here about nothing. Jeff, did you turn the air back on?
I'm
freezing.
Wait.
Jeez, oh, man. Okay, let me call the phone lines up. Local, call your mic is on. Jeff's trying to freeze me out of here. I got a sweater.
I would like to. Hi, Miss Tracy.
Hi, Steve. I'm good. How are you?
Your woman is listening, Steve.
Oh, do you think? Oh, well, he's not my woman, but... Jeff, I wanted to talk to you. You were you and Ben were talking about Giants.
Mm-hmm.
That was during the time of
Steve.
Huh?
Don't go there. I don't care. Go there.
I mean,
no.
They play in New York.
They play in New York
in the winter and in
San
Francisco in the summer.
I was trying to explain to where that came from, though.
I don't
care. Know where it comes from.
I don't care where you. I don't want to know where you think it came from.
Okay,
I don't know.
Okay. I won't bring that up.
All right.
I mean, that's right. You told me not to mention certain things, and plus, I'm not a member of that religion.
Doggone it, Steve.
Okay.
You got Jehovah's Witness on the brain, brother.
You keep a Jehovah's Witness in front of you, so
yeah.
I don't want to hear it.
Well, I'm not a Jehovah's Witness.
Hold on.
I can't tell.
Can I say this? Steve, hold on. I'm going somewhere else. Listen, not only did they tell you that you could keep your insurance if you wanted, you can't even keep your doctor anymore.
No.
Everybody's doctor's being canceled on them.
Yes, got to go.
Well, you know, when they socialized their medicine in Belgium in the 60s, All the doctors started leaving Belgium and coming to the United States, so they just drafted them all in the Army.
That's right, Miss Tracy. Could I say something now?
Yes, you can. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, this year actually marks 20 years that I started voting. In fact, when I was Diva's age, I didn't vote, and
so
even when I was younger. And some of it because I couldn't read that well. That's part of the reason why I never voted. But then when I was working at Goodwill, and the only way we can pass
Steve.
The bus levy, I'm just saying how I got started voting, man. I mean, tomorrow is Election Day, and this year marks...
Your 20th year.
Tomorrow I'll mark 20 years that I started voting. And I was like in my early 40s when I started voting. I'm 62 now, so... this year marks 20 years that I've been voting, man.
So now we have documented your
voting history. And you know what, Steve? They have have terminals that talk to you. You don't have to read; it'll tell you.
Steve, I have a question for you.
Maybe I shouldn't get on the radio and say that. Because
Steve,
why not?
Steve, I got a question for you. Did you vote Democrat all those years?
Matter of fact, I'm bipartial, man. I voted for you when you were running, man.
Okay.
And
that's only one election, Steve. No, that does not make
that's
you bipartisan.
That's multiple. I ran several times. I didn't win but one time. But that's, you know,
I voted Republican, and I voted independent. I had people helping me somewhat when I went to the board, when I went to my polling poll.
Yeah.
I'm sure they did, Steve.
Yeah.
Did you vote for Ken Blackwell?
Yes, I did.
Very good.
Yes,
very good.
Yes, I
did. Did you vote for Bob? Did you vote for Bush?
No, I didn't. I guess the reason why I guess I was against Bush policies is because I felt he wasn't honest with us when it came down to the war in Iraq.
What about the first time?
No, I did not. In fact, I didn't vote for Bill Clinton either, even though I was registered, I didn't vote for him.
Wow.
I mean, I like Bill Clinton. I think he was a good guy.
Yeah, here's something. I was thinking about this the other night. Bill Clinton was
but
he was almost impeached because he told a little lie.
Oh my God! Don't even go there, Ben.
Now we've got this president.
We're gonna make me have a spizzle ransom over here.
I
understand Bill Clinton. You don't go on television and confess your sins before you come home and ask for forgiveness.
Mm.
The last thing anybody's wife wants to hear is that you confessing
actually,
your sins.
TV. When he came through with what he did, I mean, looking at his wife, I don't blame him.
That's not the point.
I mean,
it's not about what your wife looks like.
Ben,
it ain't about what your wife looks like. It's about happy wife, happy life.
And have you seen her lately?
It doesn't make a difference. She's going to be the
iron pants.
No, listen. with the warts on her face and stuff, all she needs a broom, and
that's
I knew
Ben,
who she'd be.
Ben, that is so mean.
No, it's mean,
so
but
right,
it's
man.
True.
That's mean.
It's just my opinion, but Hillary is one ugly witch.
No, she's not.
She doesn't need makeup.
Looking woman. I thought she was kind of a hottie.
You say that again?
You thought who was a hottie?
Hillary Clinton.
Oh, my God, Steve.
Oh.
Jeff, you can't say nothing.
Yes,
think.
I can. Debbie Wasserman looks good. I don't care what y'all say.
Debbie Wasserman Schultz is not a good-looking girl.
No, she is.
Ben, Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
I'm still stuck on Jennifer Flowers, but that's just...
Jennifer Flowers?
She was cute.
Pardon me? I'm an Ann Coulter fan.
Oh, I can't stand Ann Coulter.
Oh, really?
Oh,
you know what?
She's ugly to me.
Yeah, her mouth
she looks
is...
Like,
her
but
mouth
you, think
is
Wolf,
but you think Debbie Wasserman Smith is Schultz or whatever her name is?
Ann Coulter looks like an English sheepdog. No, an Afghan.
And you mean to tell me you think that Debbie Wasserman Schultz is a good-looking girl?
Yes, I do.
Oh, y'all just twist it.
Twist me up then, baby.
Twist it.
Twist me up, bubble.
No, I mean, I just...
Yeah. You know, beauty is absolutely in the eye of the beholder, but you guys can't be
it
mean
is.
About...
It is.
Steve likes
I'm
Hillary.
Not, I'm not being... I'm
You're
not
being,
being
mean.
I'm
That's being,
being
mean.
I am being honest to the core.
I'm going to make a prediction.
I mean, I'm not saying
What's that.
Hillary Clinton cannot be elected president because she sounds, when she speaks, like everybody's ex-wife.
No.
I believe that, too.
Well,
the key part about her age is going to go against her, though. She's getting.
I mean,
Leah,
look at her.
Her age will not.
Look at
not
her.
That will not be what
yeah,
brings
yeah,
her down.
There's only one good thing about her if she's elected president. I think a broom costs a lot more.
Ben,
or a lot less than Air Force
Ben,
One.
No.
You know, I'm not. I'm serious.
Less,
she looks
less fuel.
Listen, when you look at it like a witch's coven and stuff. She's what I picture as
Ben,
the lead witch.
Ben, that is not nice.
But
she's a person.
She is a person.
No,
I'm
no,
not saying
Ben,
that.
What I'm saying,
but
listen,
witches
no.
are people, too.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are.
No, they're not. Now, hold on,
yes.
Steve. Listen, guys. Listen, y'all, now you keep, it, personal attacks, and this is what bothers me.
It's not personal.
No, it is personal.
She puts her face out in
That's
public.
That's personal.
That's
you,
public
no,
attack.
No, Ben, you don't deal with a person personally.
I mean,
I think
I'm ugly
personal
too.
When they made fun of President Obama's ears.
Yeah. But let me hold on.
No, wait a minute. Is it personal when Saturday
yeah,
Night Live?
They always do caricatures of presidents.
Listen,
they always make fun of them.
That's not the point.
So
but
I'm
Ben,
just saying,
Ben, you're going too far. If you do not want anyone to talk about your mother in that manner, no matter what they think about
her. Oh, my mom had a broom, too. Trust me.
No.
My mama looked good.
but she looked a lot better
mama,
on that broom
no,
than
your
Hillary
mama,
did.
Your mama looked good to you.
Yes.
But everybody has their own view of how people look.
Right,
and
everybody's allowed to...
No, you shouldn't do that on the air. That's mean.
Trace.
Oh, come on, Tracy.
To compare somebody to a witch is me.
No.
With warts.
No, it's not.
She does
she
have, she did.
Witch.
She does have a wart.
No,
she did.
She has policies that I absolutely disagree with.
Mine too, but I, this is not, we're
she,
talking
being,
about
so being
so
a witch.
Now wait a minute. What's
she either had warts or herpes.
There are other people that have warts that are listening.
So yes, and they're ugly warts.
But what's the difference with this?
I said warts are ugly. I didn't say
hit
people. I said warts are ugly.
But some warts are ugly.
Now wait a minute. What's the difference in this and what Saturday Night Live does on a weekly basis?
That somebody else controls that show.
Okay.
Because it can be hurtful.
Okay.
I'm not trying to hurt anyone.
You are, because if someone were listening, and if she were listening in,
you might
she'd
make
probably
her cry.
Go look in the mirror, and she would say, you know what, you're right, I better go get a face.
Ben.
Oh, no, she'd go look in the mirror and call the NSA to come get you.
No, she'd probably look in the mirror and not see her image.
That's what I'm saying.
That's why she don't know.
Ben. That's what I'm saying.
No,
and listen, I mean, there are people out there who are not pretty. They're not good looking.
Yeah.
And for us to demonize people based upon how their physique and how they look is just wrong.
Hey, listen, I'm not saying I could ride a broom too sometimes. I'd be a good warlock, but
that's not
another,
the point.
I'm just making, listen, freedom of speech. I'm allowed my personal opinion.
I know, but you need to be careful because your personal opinion blows back on me.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, it doesn't.
You look a heck of a lot better than Hillary.
That's the point.
I think you have a bruise too somewhere.
Your personal opinion blows back on me. And it's a reflection of what they think I think. And I don't believe that. I don't care how a person looks. I think her policies are bad and they're flawed.
What policies does she have? She's in no position to have a policy.
Oh, right. She's got a policy.
No, she does.
Oh, she got a platform.
She may have an agenda.
She's got a platform and a policy. We're not going to give
Larry.
Aid to
anybody
overseas.
How you doing? Don't get it twisted. Just because she doesn't have a title by her name, she's got influence in the White House as well as in the Senate. What's going on, Larry?
She has.
Nothing. I agree with you, Tracy. There's no need to get ugly on them because they're her policies and her agendas are ugly enough.
Yeah. But, I mean, I don't have to take a personal attack. I don't have to take a personal hit at Hillary. I think she's a wackadoodle in the mind. Her policies and what she stands for and where she's going, and if she accidentally gets elected, where she'll take this country will be a far further lean than where Barack Obama is.
Let me put it to you this way. I think that her daughter, Chelsea, is very good looking.
I don't care.
Very good looking. I think she's attractive, but
Chelsea has nothing to do with her physique.
Yeah.
You do not personally attack females because we don't personally attack men.
That's not true.
I'm
going
to tell you when a guy's ugly.
Oh, we don't.
Too, I mean.
Oh, no, we don't. Because when we hit, men do not get hurt by how people think of how they look. Women get hurt.
No. They attacked Chris Christie for his weight.
Well,
they got personal with him. So, I mean, it is. But
see, I said how they
get
I'm talking about how they look, not how they weigh.
They hurt his feelings so bad he went and got
a lap band.
Lap band, yeah.
And actually, they wrote a book about him, about vetting Christian and the Romney campaign out today.
There's another thing. They've tightened up the standards in the military so much for body fat. Service members are going to get liposuction just to stay on active duty now.
Oh, wow.
I read that the other day.
Wow. I mean, I just don't take I don't like personal hits because I actually want Hillary Clinton to come on here and be a guest. I don't have a problem with her or anyone who supports her, and I don't want that's just I wouldn't want that to get to her. That's mean. I mean, I don't have a problem with actually going against her head to head on her policy and her philosophy.
Well, that sounds like
that's
a fight
good
between
thing.
Her and Monica.
No, that's a different
head-to-head,
fight. But as far as how she looks, I mean, that's brutal.
Somebody got it,
Larry, and a whole bunch of other people got it.
Sticks and sending pornographic jokes here.
No, it's not. It's funny.
But it's hilarious.
I know it is.
Sticks, what are you sending out on the internet?
No, it's not pornographic.
You got a woman groping a tree. What the heck are you doing?
Is any of that pornographic material?
Jeff is sending out bestiality stuff over the weekend, and you send out a woman hugging a tree.
Yeah, because I told him.
But wait a minute. I want to go back to the tree and then go to the – what are you talking about, Six?
It's a joke. You got to read the whole joke.
Then read the joke.
You want me to read the joke?
Go ahead and read the joke.
A woman from Los Angeles who was a tree-hugging liberal Democrat and an anti-hunter purchased a piece of timberland near Colville, Washington. There was a large tree on one of the highest points in the track. She wanted a good view of the natural splendor of her land, so she started to climb the big tree, naked. As she neared the top, she encountered a spotted owl that attacked her. In her haste to escape, the woman slid down the tree to the ground and got many splinters in her crotch. In considerable pain, she hurried to a local ER to see a doctor. She told him she was an environmentalist, a Democrat, and an anti-hunter, and how she came to get all the splinters. The doctor listened to her story with great patience and then told her to go wait in the examining room, and he would see if he could help her. Now, you guys got to get a graphic on this now. She waited. She didn't climb the tree naked and slid down it naked. She sat and waited 3 hours before the doctor reappeared. The angry woman demanded, "What took you so long?" He smiled and told her, he said, "Well, I had to get permits from the Environmental Protection Agency and the Forest Service and the Bureau of Land Management before I could remove old growth timber from a recreational area." So, wait. Treatment facility, and I'm sorry, but due to Obamacare, they turned you down. That is hilarious.
Oh, an old buddy from high school sent me that. I'm sorry. I couldn't resist.
That's a good one.
You know.
That was good because it's also because they, you know, he said it's also was so close to a waste treatment facility.
Well, I would think they'd be close to her brain, but that's...
Same difference.
Yeah.
Ben, so you have to be so crass.
Oh, God.
Listen, that climbs up a tree naked and slides down can't be all that bright. The waste treatment facility is in her head.
Ben, you are so crass.
But it's true.
I'm going to take you outside and make you stand
She's
in
got
the corner.
You know what for brains.
I'm going to make you stand in the corner in a minute.
Well...
Really?
At least there'll be somebody standing up for the rights.
I'm going to put you in the left corner.
Oh, don't put me in the left corner.
What's going on, Larry? What's happening with you?
Nah, that's just another good day. I'm enjoying this global warming out here. But I do have to take – I got to give Jeff his credit. You know, they come in here, he's crowing, talking about going to the Super Bowl. The difference – and I'm happy. I'm pleased. My dad's a Browns fan. You know that, Jeff. So I'm pleased.
Yeah.
But the difference between Browns and Steelers fans is we're not real happy about where we're at right now. But we also wouldn't be happy at 4-5 talking about going to the Super Bowl either because we're not used to that. So I can appreciate the Browns having a below average year and being happy about it. I'm happy.
I'm actually proud of the Browns.
Yeah,
I really am. I'm happy for them. I've never been happier for the Browns. I'm glad to see you actually, you know, have a little sunshine on Cleveland. They need it.
Well, we got a good quarterback.
And they beat the former Super Bowl champs too. So you got to give them credit.
That's right.
Yeah, even though that team left and there's somebody else playing in their place. Yeah.
Because without Ray Lewis,
the Steelers
but you were going to.
The Steelers beat him. So what's that say?
That they stink.
One of their wins this year was against somebody had a great one. What'd they call it? The Braven?
The Braven.
Is that how you call it?
Yeah.
The Braven. Yeah. Steelers beat the Bravens, too. So, you know, it is what it is. I'm happy for you, Jeff. You keep
hope alive.
Praying. Yeah,
but you know what? Honestly,
they ain't
going to
play in
Browns.
The Super Bowl. I'm telling you.
Listen, I would love the Browns to play in the Super Bowl. It'd be such an economic upswing for the area here. I think it would be a good thing. You know, that's why Browns win, Steelers win. I'm good with it because I think it does good for the local economies.
Of course it does.
You know, that's why I was really upset when LeBron left Cleveland because
the
economic hit.
But now you got to understand, somebody made a great observation because, you know, I am a Tomlinson fan.
Yes. With Damian or
who?
She's like, who?
Exactly.
Who?
No. She don't know nothing.
Somebody
don't
that'll
know good,
be enshrined in Canton pretty soon.
No, I'm talking about the coach.
Oh, Mike.
Someone said the other day that when the Browns lose, they wear their gear still.
Uh-huh.
But when the Steelers lose and when they're not having a good season, the Steelers pack their stuff away.
That's
probably
true.
Yeah.
That's true.
I mean, the Browns just they got Brown pride no matter what. They just so used to losing. They just wear it just because it's close.
Yeah.
Well, the Steelers, they pack, I mean, the Steelers, they pack up their stuff and
well,
just go away.
You know, what's amazing to me is that, I mean, if you want, it's like Pittsburgh's had one quarterback for the last, what, 10 years now? And I think the Browns have had 10 quarterbacks per year since 10 years ago. You never know who's going to come out and be the starting quarterback for
the
Browns.
The Browns don't make any sense because I read Jeff's post yesterday, and I have to agree with him. The Browns should have started this quarterback a long time ago.
What's his name?
Campbell.
Campbell.
Oh, the one that came from the one that RG3 replaced in Washington.
Exactly.
And then last year they had Seneca Wallace.
Alabama, your mic is on. I'm just saying they made a good observation. I have to hand it to them. You know what? They didn't change that clock. I didn't change my watch either, but they didn't change that clock up there.
Oh, my clock's changed.
Oh, that's easy. That's a
what?
That's a manual
that's an
labor.
Old-fashioned
time. Listen, it might be an old-fashioned, it might be a manual labor.
You know,
but last evening, I ran out of a dinner thinking it was midnight.
What better time for the Browns to win than when you turn back the clock?
Do you all want to know what's going on with this?
All right,
I've been waiting.
Get the callers in first.
I mean, right now, Alabama's on there.
Okay,
I'm not going on.
Answer me a question. Are doing the worst in this country right now? What's the worst group of people right now?
The Browns.
I'd say the Republicans.
Yeah, Republicans are doing bad, but who's bad because of the policies of this administration?
All the poorest people.
The poor people,
and who
do they support?
Black vote?
The Democrats.
Forget Democrats.
Black vote?
Who do they support?
Who support?
The people that are doing bad. Who did black people come out support 100,000%?
President Obama.
President Obama. Okay. Obama is the key to all of this. Now, the great owner of the Pittsburgh Steelers is a really supposed to be a Republican.
Yeah, he was.
But he lost his mind somewhere, and over the last 8 years, 5 years, he came out in great, huge support
of
Barack Obama.
Yes.
Okay, so now what's his name, Mr. Rooney?
Uh-huh.
Mr. Rooney holds a huge thing down at your field to support Obamacare.
Mm-hmm.
The bishops are pissed
at
him.
Well, they couldn't get the grass to grow. That's why they need the fertilizer.
Whatever. I know that's right. The bishop is pissed, okay?
Uh-huh.
Because they don't know what to do. They really would like to stop him from taking sacrament, but then they would never get half of his money that they want to get.
One cannot serve two masters.
But this other bishop is about to take some action because – they're mm-hmm. saying, you can't support this craziness and the abortion thing because he done told us to go to hell.
Mm-hmm.
It literally is what he told the Catholic Church, and that is true, ladies and gentlemen. Mm-hmm. Anybody can call me if they want to. Okay, call us, I should say.
Yeah, that is true. I've heard that story.
Yeah. And so now we're sitting up here. Black people are doing bad.
Mm-hmm.
His people in his administration that are getting caught up in these lies and scandals are doing bad. They're not doing real great right now.
Well, he appointed someone to Ireland, and didn't Ireland's economy fail?
Yes.
See?
They're on their way down. It all goes back to
the Steelers.
To the Steelers supporting
the
policy of
this
president.
When you support evil, evil things happen
to you. Evil things happen.
Yes.
Okay. And that is
what I will buy that.
And I'm going to tell you.
I will buy that.
That is what's going on with this year.
Because you have to admit, when the Steelers won both those Super Bowls, they were blessed.
They were blessed.
But he was giving money to the Republicans.
He was giving money to conservative causes.
Yes, and now that he's not,
they
lost the one in Green Bay.
What did he change for?
You're right.
Because my thought is, I cannot see this happening like this and how he yanked
over. Okay, I will say that. Under that theory, and I'm buying into it, the Browns ownership must have been worshiping Satan for the last 25 years.
No. See, here's the thing with the Browns. Listen, the Browns are dishonest. And I've said this on Facebook. I'll say it on the radio.
Uh-huh.
They always, in that city, look for a great white hope. That's why when LeBron did leave the city,
he wasn't white.
He wasn't white, but they loved him
and
they gave him.
You said great white hope.
They gave him the great white hope position
of
the head of the Cavaliers.
Oh.
Okay, So when he turned and made his decision for himself and went to Miami,
Miami won.
They turned on him like a gorilla on
But why did they turn on him, Jeff? They turned on him because of the way he went about it.
No, that is not
what
it
is. You know what? You got to blame the ownership and the Cavaliers for that because
he
was with – he said, listen, I need help. I can't win all by myself. So where'd he go? He goes down to Miami where they got Dwayne Wade and a bunch of other stars down there, and they win. I can't blame him. I can't fault LeBron for that.
But LeBron, I mean, Gilbert had a lot to do with that, but a lot had to do with how LeBron left. His fans turned on him because of how he left.
Mm-hmm.
Gilbert just didn't give him the support that he needed. He wouldn't put the money into
now,
it.
Something wrong, but well, aren't there racing teams, too? He's not even paying attention to me.
What'd you say, Larry?
Well, as far as LeBron, everybody, the gold standard in the NBA is Michael Jordan. Always was, always will be. I'm not mad at LeBron. He actually took less money to go to Miami, so it wasn't a financial thing. He thought that's where he could win, and he's been proven correct. Michael Jordan was able to win with a bunch of second-rate guys. I mean, there is no Scottie Pippen without Michael Jordan there. Scottie Pippen would have been just an average, above-average NBA player. But you can't name another Bulls on that unless you're from Chicago. They're really
Listen, Dennis Rodman, he's a rebounding legend. Nobody does it better in history, so he did have help.
He did win all those. What was his name? You just said it. Rodman.
He was there for one.
He came through.
Rodman
came through with the last three.
To have the rebounding champion.
It was going what Rodman did.
Right.
I mean,
but not as well as Rodman did it.
But it doesn't make a difference. He had to have a support team. You got to have somebody to assist you because there's five players.
Yeah,
on.
And like I said, Rodman was great.
Hold on. Michael Jordan, that's like him in another top five. At the time, Dwayne Wade was considered a top five player. Chris Bosh was averaging 24.5 points a game his last year. That's never been done. Nobody's ever put – that's like putting Kobe and Jordan or Jordan and Dominique Wilkins. That's what that looks like.
Yeah.
So let's put it into context
now. Back when the Lakers had Magic,
Dream Team.
And Worthy, and Kareem. That was the closest you did. Yeah.
Kobe
really never had Shaq.
In the early years.
No, even in the early
years.
They were there together, but they really didn't play. They were not – their chemistry was not there.
But still, Shaq was a great center, a good rebounding. He's a good player.
Hey, Michael Jordan's two centers was Bill Cartwright and Luke Longley.
Right.
Two guys
and they weren't great at all.
Unless you're a big basketball fan, you would never even remember them or couldn't pick them out of a lineup. But that's what it was. Michael made everybody else better than what they were. And you're right, Tracy. It was a supporting cast. They were the right guys around him. But you couldn't – none of them guys would have been – what they were without Michael. And so
to Larry's point, Scottie Pippen never averaged over 20 points a game until Michael Jordan sat down. So, I mean, we're not talking about Dwayne Wade. Dwayne Wade averaged 20 points.
I can't name anybody that played with Larry Bird either, to be honest with you.
But you have to understand, they knew how to make things better. LeBron was not a leader. LeBron is not a leader like that. And he didn't have a supporting cast on that field. I got to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends. I'm going to leave the phone lines open, Alabama. I don't know who's out there with you, so talk or sing if nobody talks to you. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. Six, you got bumper music over there because, you're sitting – I don't know what you guys are looking at over there, but whatever it is. Hello.
I'm going to bring my wasting away in Barack Obama's.
Hello. Hello.
Wasting away again, Barack Obama Bill.
Uh-huh.
Waiting for my...
Avoid the rush and listen to us.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah.
I still sit here forgetting about Isaiah Thomas and all that, all them guys that would be quite...
They're not forgetting about him. I feel like Isaiah and Magic had a little falling out, and they kind of – Magic is like royalty in the NBA to this day. And Isaiah, I feel like, got stiffed on the All-Star team. There's no way Christian Laettner – not All-Star – the 92 Olympic team. There's no way Christian Laettner should have been on that team over
agree with you 100%.
Isaiah Thomas.
I agree with you 100%.
At that time, he had too long won the two back-to-back championships, and you don't put him on there? I mean, it is what it is.
That was messed up. Yeah, but that's one thing I looked at it, but I never really got into basketball too high.
I mean, when it comes to basketball, like, that's what I played, so that's all, you know, kind of keep me, it kind of forces me to be, that's one thing I'm going to kind of be into. But
well, see,
when
man,
it comes
I'm gonna,
to
I'm
going to
tell you something, man. It's like this. Basketball is a sport that discriminates, man. Because I'm 5'9", and they wouldn't pick me, man.
Well, I'm going to put it like this. If you're 5'9", your skills need to be according to that. If you're 5'9", you better have a 40-inch vertical. You better be a heck of a ball handler because you're not going to be able to check the average 6'2 guy. He can post you up. You better be a great defender. You better play good passing lanes, solid passer. To me, what I think the lost art in basketball is passing. If you know how to pass, I can trust you at key points in the game. If you know how to play defense, I can trust you not to let your man score. And all you have to do is hit an open 15-foot jump shot, which most guys, all they want to do now is shoot threes and dunk. So those three things right there will make you, if I had a kid, that's the first things I would teach him, like as a fundamental. Like then I would start on bam, ball handling. But you got to know how to pass. You got to know how to – if you can't pass, you're going to turn the ball over when the game gets tight. If you can't defend, then you're a liability, which most kids can't defend because they're scared to get embarrassed nowadays. They don't want to get crossed up. I mean, look, if you're going to play some real ball players, you're going to get crossed up. You're going to get dunked on. That's why the best defenders that we know of, Alonzo Mourning, Patrick Ewing, they got dunked on. They own a lot of posters. Guys that, you know, what's his name, Gary Payton got crossed up a couple of times. It happened. But that you can't be afraid, just like in life, you can't be afraid when it comes to defense.
No. I remember watching a game with the Philadelphia 76ers back in the day, and Darrell Dawkins went up and jammed over the top of this guy and broke the backboard, and it was like silence in the arena. Then 2 weeks later, turned around and did the same thing.
His game never developed all the way. He was a dunk master, but he wasn't. He didn't develop the skills. So,
well, now I'm going to tell you something though. I'm going to tell you the best ball handler that I've ever seen was not a man. It was a woman by the name of Pearl Moore. She held the collegiate scoring title. Matter of fact, she scored more points than she beat Pistol Pete to take the scoring title. But she played for a school called Francis Marion University down here. But man, she was off the chain.
Francis Marion School up here, so in Alabama. I'm in Alabama today.
But the thing about it is, now they got some good basketball players at some of these smaller schools. They just don't get no recognition.
Oh yeah. I got a friend of mine that played on the team with a guy. Guy transferred in from LSU, so the coach wanted him to take all the shots, right? But the other guy was on the team. He was still averaging about 15 points a game, but nobody would look at him because he played at Tuskegee with us. So nobody, but he's about 6'4". He would go to camps and get off and do his thing. A lot of times in these camps, they already know who they want to sign. They know, and you go out there and try to get the best of that guy. They still don't want to sign him. That's how it worked, because I went to a couple of camps and they was just, okay, we're looking at this guy. So you go out there and attack him and go at him and get the best of him, and they, okay, who is that? You know, but, man, it's a lot. Man, when you're trying to go professional, best thing to do is get your airplane ticket, stamp your passport, and go. Don't waste your money with those camps most of the time.
Oh, okay.
That's what a lot of kids mess up. They're trying to go to these camps trusting these agents. Man, they just going to mess you up, man. Best thing to do, hop in the airplane, go over, go to the Olympic Federation, and walk in there and tell them you want to play.
Okay. Okay. Well, how hard is it to get into a developmental league?
I mean, it's not if you got the skills. I mean, if you got, I'm gonna be honest with you. I've seen guys, man, that weren't that good that were making money. So I mean, it's not always about the guys that it's not about you can play in certain schools and hit 20 points a game, 30 points, which I don't care if you're hitting 30 points a game, you got some type of talent, but they don't care. I mean, then I've seen guys averaging 8 points and they overseas because they coach had a connection or. I seen didn't even play college ball that's making money. So it's not really a lot of money in it. You can make a lot more money doing something else, but a lot of times, you know, a lot of those guys that play overseas, they kind of like to front like they're making these millions of dollars. Man, it's rarely will a guy go overseas and make, you know, six figures. That's not the norm. A lot of times these guys are making about $4,000, $3,000 a month. And these are pretty good ball players I'm talking about, too. I'm not talking about no sorry guys. So, you come up better getting a job.
I thought they were making a minute.
No, man. You don't make no money. Like, I mean, I ain't going to say you don't. I'm saying that's just where I was. I'm just being honest. That's where I was. I'm not going. I played against high-level guys, but sometimes it's like you just don't. It's just not like that, man. It just depends. It's a lot of politics in it. Just like anything, it's a lot of politics and who they want. You know, team, if you're an American, you can go over there and average 20 points a game and y'all losing, you gone. I don't care how you can hit 30, you gone. If y'all losing or what they'll do a lot of times, they only can have a certain amount of Americans. So that's why I say fly over there because some of those guys may not be as well. They let you come in there and practice for free, but then right. they'll sign you on some little shoddy contract. Won't pay a lot, but that'll get your foot in the door. Then once you got some experience, you switch teams. That's when you make you some money.
Okay, so the money's in the free agents.
Oh yeah, like trying to be these agents, man. They just trying to get paid.
Okay,
most of them.
Yeah. Yeah, I see. You know, I mean, you know, you see a bunch of guys in college. You think they're going to be very, very good in the NBA, and they just don't have the strength, man.
It ain't even that. I'm gonna be completely. There's a guy I know played at University of Alabama in Birmingham, UAB, which is kind of mid major. Made the Washington Wizards. Played with Gilbert Arenas 2 years. He would get in the game sometime, hit 15 points, then he's on the bench. He wound up averaging like 2 points, they cut him. But he's better than a lot of guys that it's not like you think. Like Jeremy Lin went on that little tear. Everybody was going crazy over Jeremy Lin. Jeremy Lin is probably not as good as the guy I'm talking about.
And this is doing my bumper music and I can't see anything because I'm on the opposite side of the room.
This was number one. I mean, this was on the CMAs.
Who is it?
Toby Keith.
Ain't he the black guy?
No, that's Terry.
No, the other one. Okay, the two.
Tracy, you missed up Toby Keith and Darius Rucker.
Who's the black guy? Who's the country western guy? Not Darius.
Charlie Pride.
Cowboy Troy.
No.
So that's Toby Keith.
Toby Keith, yeah, he's been around for a long time. Actually, he has his own label, Big Dog Records.
You come up with some doggone stuff. Jeez, oh man, it's Monday. It's the first Monday in November.
I told you I was going to lighten it up. Red Solo Cup's a good fun song. Red Solo Cup.
And a solo cup.
I fill you up. Let's have a party.
You know, y'all don't make a song out of anything. I mean, seriously. Y'all don't make a song out of anything. Red Solo Cups. You're sitting up there with your Get Box and looking at a cup with some beer in it and start singing about it. You know, that's a problem.
He made a lot of money on that. He made a lot of money with that song. You can ask Doug.
He didn't write that with a full cup of
beer. The beer was probably half gone when he started writing that song.
I mean,
actually,
y'all sitting there looking at a cup going.
Steak was probably half gone.
Trey, we had KFC, so y'all look at the bucket and be like, KFC is good to me. Oh, that's pretty good. I'm having a party. KFC. It's called chicken.
On Colonel Parker's.
Is it Colonel
recipe?
Parker? Colonel Parker, who stole the recipe from his maid.
What?
Oh, here we go now, playing the race card.
Yes.
You're going to say it's a black recipe? What, you invented fried chicken now? We all know the Colonel did that. You guys
actually,
take credit for chicken.
Now, in all honesty, what the Colonel invented was the pressure cooker to cook it in a third of the time.
No, the 13 original recipe, spices.
Spices.
Yes.
But no, he stole that too.
Isn't that just Italian dressing mix?
No. No. He got something in there. It's kind of hard to duplicate. Not too many people have been able to duplicate that. But yeah, they stole the recipe.
Like the
cocaine next thing and the next thing you're going to say is that you invented watermelon.
No, we invented eating watermelon. And
no, you didn't.
And enjoying it.
No, you didn't, because I love it. That's my favorite.
Now, where did that stereotype come from?
Because
because
if you go back to the postcards and to the advertisement, they would have a little black boy with real big red lips sitting on the side of a fence eating watermelon.
Okay, and now Aunt Jemima with the maple syrup.
Aunt Jemima, hers was because she was a mammy. And
wasn't Aunt Jemima one of those?
Isn't that a stereotype,
characters?
Though, that should be sort of like...
No, because the last time I met a woman that went by the name of Jemima, she was a white girl.
Okay, but what I'm saying is, isn't that a negative stereotype
that's
still used today in public?
No, and neither is the grits guy.
I don't know anything about grits. I thought those were Italian.
No, that's polenta.
No, the cream of wheat guy.
Cream of wheat guy.
Yeah, the cream of wheat.
And the grits guy. But no, that's polenta. Polenta.
Ziva's still in there.
Yeah, she's still in there.
Well, wait, what you call grits, we call polenta.
No, they're two separate things. Polenta is is corn grain, and grits, a different blend. Polenta is different than grits.
I don't know about that.
It is.
I thought it was all corn. It's almost made the same way.
Almost, but it's still different. Grits and polenta, they have a difference. If you take cornmeal and grits and mix them together, you get polenta, even though they're both based in corn. But polenta and corn are two different things.
Okay, somebody bring up the recipes on grits and then polenta, and I want to see the difference. Because I think the Italians invented it. They were going back 2,000 years when Rome was there.
I don't know.
They didn't even have corn in Europe.
No.
Corn is a South American plant.
Corn is an American plant.
That's not
y'all
true.
Listen, when y'all came over here
in Egypt, they found
not only
corn but cocaine.
When the pilgrims got here, they didn't even know what corn was. They had to learn Indians what to do with a corn.
What's that stuff again?
Polenta? P-O-L-E-N-T-A. But I love polenta and I love corn. And I love grits.
Maize.
Maize. Hey, what's going on, Alabama, South Carolina, and Diva? Hey, South Carolina, how's your campaign going? You know, you got to worry. I ought to come down there and whip you.
It's actually going pretty good. It looks real good. It looks real good.
South Carolina is running for office. He's running for city council down in his city, for those of you who don't know, in Darling. And we are sending our support down there to him, letting him know that we love him and that we support him.
Darling, South Carolina.
You got any closets or skeletons in the closet you want me to get rid of?
Huh?
Don't answer the question.
Not even close.
Alabama's going to get – he's going to be the next person to run for office. Isn't that right, Alabama?
I'm a run for president.
No, you're going too far. Don't do that first. No, not yet. No, not yet. You don't come out the chute going to the White House.
Obama did.
No, he did go through a couple. He did went through a couple layers. You don't come out.
You know what? I take that back. I'm gonna go be a community organizer, and then I'm a run for president.
There you go. Now, if you're gonna do it right. But whatever you do. Don't do please don't.
My friend, when we got out of college, my friend was a community organizer, and all he did every day was ride down to this community center every day and play basketball with some kids.
They were paying him like $60,000. He worked there for about 2 years. He would go down there. He would literally, and I'm talking about, he would take 3 days a week. He'd go down there, and some days he just wouldn't go, but he was going. He was working for Tuskegee University through some grant program. And he didn't even have to show up. He had some older lady. That was it.
Y'all know what I'm saying.
You know, something else happened last week.
What happened, Jeff?
We didn't realize, nobody brought to the forefront. The American Psychological Association has named pedophilia as a sexual orientation.
That's what they did in the 70s with homosexuality. They took it from being a mental disorder.
Didn't just say what I think you said.
I said what you thought I just said. Just
so
last
that
week.
That gives a wide open door to NAMLA.
And guess what? We said that was going to happen, did we not?
Sure enough did.
How many years ago did we say that? At least 3 to 4? And guess what? And I put on my Facebook, okay, let that be a sexual orientation if you want to. But I got some grand niece and nephews. Guess what? Let the first orientation person touch that, and there will be details at 11 for three and four freaking days in a row.
But see, this is the issue.
Because I'm going to kill the same person that many times.
This is the problem. See, they're not going to do it that way.
Yes, they are going to
do it that
way.
No, they're not going to do it that way. That's not how that works.
Mm-hmm.
What they do is they go and find, you know, people who think like they think, and then they make it normal.
Well, they're going to try to make it normal.
Yeah, that's what they'll do. They'll find other people, and they will give their children to the other people's children
and
back and forth.
Yeah, right, they'll swap kids. They won't mess with yours, but then yours will be talking to their kids, and then they'll come out and change how
Tracy,
they
you
view
got it wrong.
Your children.
I mean, this is I
got it wrong.
What do you mean?
Got it wrong.
They're gonna
go into the Democrats first. That's where they're gonna be Democrats. We know it's coming from that party. It's not gonna be a Republican thing. So it's going to be Democrat. I mean, they're going to probably align themselves with Democrats in certain cities, and then probably California. And then when they do, it's going to branch out from there. They're going to start fighting. In the 70s, in 73, they took it off the psychology journals for homosexuality. Now the president's for it, 40 years later. So don't be surprised.
The big picture thing of this is how a society collapses from within. I'm reading a book about ancient Rome right now, and pedophilia and homosexuality was running rampant.
Absolutely.
As the Roman Empire collapsed.
Right.
And that's how society collapses from within.
Then they supported a guy, Nero, who was burning Christians. They supported Nero. They were burning Christians and doing a lot of things, blaming it on the Christians. The only difference is today the church supports Nero. So, because it's like, think about it. They overseas beheading and killing Christians, but the church is all for it this time.
Well, no. Not the true church.
When I say church, now, I understand what I mean by it. That's a generality. That's not everybody.
The mainline denominations, absolutely. The mainline denominations with hierarchies, yes. But the evangelical independent churches,
I'm going to throw a monkey wrench. If you go look at, I think it's the Trilateral Commission, out of every organization in this country, at the higher-ups, at every organization in this country and around the world are based in that organization, and including church or denomination. All of them can go back and be traced through that one organization.
That's the Rockefeller. That's the Rockefeller stuff, yeah.
When you start talking about these church denominations, say it again.
Is it like the International Council of Churches or what is that? Something like that.
All I know is they have representatives that make the decisions for these churches. That's why they deal with the whole 501c3 status. They got on when they did that. So, I mean, it's all intertwined, man.
Well, no, the 501c3 thing, that's the LBJ rule. And churches don't realize that has never been enforced.
What's that?
The LBJ rule.
Black churches realize that.
Well, the tax code?
I've got a question now. Mm-hmm.
World Council of Churches. That's what it is, World Council of Churches.
World Council of Churches is a demonic organization, okay?
Church of Satan.
So you might as well, if you're thinking that they are the church, they are not the church whatsoever.
Well, how many non-demonic organizations of people that we see televangelists on TV that we think are orthodox, so to speak, that are have these ties? We don't even know. It's so many of them.
You do. Yeah, you do. You know exactly who they are because they'll tell you who they are, and you'll see their names in particular situations. But I'm going to say this. This is ridiculous. Don't you can't blame just because something has church behind it. You can't lump them into that.
I mean,
it's just like saying that the Catholics of the Inquisition were Christians. They were not.
Well, that's why everybody's got to know what the book says. If you don't know what your book says, you know, anything that somebody thinks is Christian can be Christian. That's the argument we had with Stanley when he used to call in all the time. He didn't understand what Christians were. Just because you call yourself a Christian doesn't mean you are. Just because I call myself a Cadillac and sleep in a garage doesn't mean I am one.
You don't have to sleep in the garage. You can still be a Cadillac. Just put a medallion on your nose.
That makes me a Cadillac?
Absolutely.
Hood on
her. Even though I'm breathing? Even though I'm breathing, and Cadillacs don't breathe.
Cadillacs breathe.
Yeah,
they
do.
That's
what the catalytic converter is for.
They hum.
You should know that being a car enthusiast.
That's right. Hey, what's going on with NASCAR? You sent me some. What did you say? Speaking of which, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number, it's open mic today, if you didn't know. The number is 347-945-5229. Did you send me an invitation to NASCAR?
I sent you my vacation schedule.
You can't go there.
What vacation? Huh?
You can't go see NASCAR.
Why?
Because all NASCAR drivers are racists.
That's not true. Last week, 1 week ago, Saturday, something happened that hadn't happened in 50 years. An African-American driver won in one of the top three series in NASCAR.
And that proves that he's a racist.
Oh, so he's a racist black guy.
Oh, black people can be racist.
No, all NASCAR drivers are racist.
That's not true.
Yeah, it is.
That's not true.
They all go around circles and they're racist.
I'm
going to
take
racist.
A break in a few minutes, but when I come back, can we talk about gun control again?
No.
I'm sorry. I just got some.
You lie!
I had some conversations today over the weekend.
Ammunition's coming back on the market.
No, I got to talk about LAX.
They got enough of it now.
Yeah,
I got. Wait a minute. I had this LAX. You know, they had this LAX thing, mm-hmm. And then I had this conversation with somebody about, you know, how President Obama's trying to do the right thing and get the guns. Oh, T.D. Jakes, who is a preacher in Texas, has this show called Mind, Body, and Soul on over the weekend. Mm-hmm. And he had this panel on talking about violence in the black community. And the young lady said, they asked about, well, how can we get more involved politically? And she says, President Obama's doing everything he can to help black people, and every time he does, no one stands up for him because he wants to get all the guns off the street. So I want to talk about that a little bit because the way she put it, you could tell she has no clue about what she's talking about when it comes to legislation and how things really happen. And I have major issue. Well, then they had the New York thing that the young man, the TSA officer that went in there and shot up the place, and they said he used an assault rifle. But I need to know, did he use an assault rifle or did he use a gun with a big magazine clip?
You know what?
No, he used
All handguns are assault
no,
weapons.
No, no, no. He used a rifle. I mean, he used a modern sporting rifle, which is what the mainstream media likes to call an assault rifle. Use a modern sporting rifle.
If a shotgun is pointed at you, it's an assault weapon.
That's true.
I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. But I got to find that. I got to figure that out because here we go with the gun thing again, and I got to have some conversation about it. We'll be right back.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staple's Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love. If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Fit Family, unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. The laying of the roses ceremony at the Vietnam War Memorial in downtown Youngstown once again paid tribute to the 100 Mahoning County men killed in action during the Vietnam War. The annual event also honored the three who were prisoners of war or missing in action. The Vietnam Veterans of America Chapter 135 of Youngstown hosts the event each year. A former Boardman High School teacher accused of having sex with a student will be sentenced today. Joe Cleghorn pleaded guilty to having a sexual relationship with a 16-year-old student between 2007 and 2009. The victim came forward after she had a baby. And some parents in Austintown are concerned about traffic safety on their school district's campus. At a meeting, parents complained about crossing guard safety and that children riding buses were being dropped off at unsafe intersections. The school superintendent asked parents to use patience during those high traffic times. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
Chances are your furnace isn't going to quit working between 8 and 5 on a weekday. Ainsley Heating and Cooling knows you shouldn't pay more when your furnace breaks after 5 p.m. or on a weekend. At Ainsley Heating and Cooling, we don't charge you any unnecessary fees. No overtime, no diagnostic, and no trip charges. That's right, same price, day or night. Weekends, too. Call Ainsley Heating and Cooling now, 330-637-1911, or AinsleyHTG.com.
Birthday celebration going on all month. 33% off window sale on any WeatherTech window you get. Plus, great savings on siding, roofing, entry and patio doors, kitchen cabinet refacing. All coming to you at special discounts, and we'll get it installed before the bad weather comes and definitely before the holiday. That means Thanksgiving. Way before that, we can get your windows installed in 15 days or less. All can be financed starting as low as $69 a month with no interest for 5 years. Plus, check myweathertight.com. More specials. Check us out with a BBB. We're proud of our A-plus rating. 26-plus years of satisfying thousands of customers says it all. So get off the fence. What are you waiting for? The only thing you get with a low-price window is a low price. Here's the number for the free estimate, 1-800-821-8483. That's 1-800-821-8483. And like always, whether it be one window or house full, Mrs. Merv and the WeatherTights guarantee you'll be satisfied with WeatherTight replacement windows for the life of your house.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll-free 1-800-530-WSOM. online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
Hey, we're back.
Documentary he's made about the art of rapping, which will be running on tomorrow night's program. But while he was here and news about the Denver shooting was coming in, I briefly took the opportunity to ask him about his own attitude towards guns. And I asked him why he's such a defender of the right to bear arms.
Well, I give up my gun when everybody else does.
And is that
doesn't that make sense?
Well,
doesn't that make sense? I mean, if you were to, if there were guns here, would you be want to be the only person without one?
So do you carry guns
not
routinely at home? I mean, you have a gun at home?
Yeah, it's legal in the United States. It's part of our Constitution. You know, the right to bear arms is because that's the last form of defense against tyranny. Not to hunt. To hunt. It's to protect yourself from the police.
And do you see any link between that and these sorts of incidents?
No. Nah, not really. You know what I'm saying? If somebody wants to kill people, you know, they don't need a gun. Do it.
Makes it easier, though, doesn't it?
Not really. You can use you can strap explosives on your body. They do that all the time.
So when there's the inevitable backlash mm-hmm. of the anti-gun lobby as a result of this incident, as it always is...
Well, that's not going to change anything
in
the United States.
Anything.
Nah. The United States is based on guns, you know? Like KRS says, you'll never have justice on stolen land. So it's not going to change.
Hey, we're back.
Love that iced tea. Smart man.
So you think that America is based on guns?
Most definitely.
Absolutely.
America is not only based on guns, it's based on individual rights and freedom.
Yes.
That you can only have and protect with a gun.
And not only that, I mean, the people don't realize the Supreme Court has held over and over and over again the police are under no legal obligation to protect you or your property.
But listen to this. I don't know if you guys saw this and what they were talking about. They were actually having this conversation about guns, and now we had another shooting in Los Angeles, LAX. It's back on the front.
Wait, in LAX?
Wow, suicide by cop.
Wait. It's illegal to have a gun in L.A.
And most
it's illegal to have an assault rifle in L.A.
Yeah, well, how'd they get
that? I don't know, because the guy was from New Jersey, where it's also illegal to own a so-called assault rifle and a 30-round magazine.
So, wait a minute. So you're saying that in two places where you're not allowed to have guns, they have guns?
Yeah.
Pretty much just
yeah.
criminals, though.
Gun-free zones.
Just criminals have them.
So well.
Just crazy criminals have them.
Right.
So they're not letting sane people protect themselves by giving them... the ability to have guns?
No.
That's crazy. That is the very definition of crazy.
You're still gun advocate, huh?
What do you think?
I just thought maybe you know.
I just got another case of .223 ammo. Good price. Come over, let's shoot some.
No.
Yeah.
We're gonna shoot some cans.
Oh yeah.
No, Jeff, you a shooter?
Yes, I am.
Jeff, you're not a shooter.
When you want to go, we'll get together. We'll have a Tracy and Friends gun
shoot off. Yeah.
Shoot off. Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, can we go out and shoot Bambi? It's Bambi time, isn't it?
Bow season.
You know, just because you like to shoot doesn't mean you like to kill things. I mean, basically, I'm not a hunter. I love the sport of shooting. I love competition shooting. I love target shooting. I don't want to kill a rabbit. I'll go get my meat in the store.
Well, you'll go get your meat in the store where no animals were hurt to get it.
I'm just saying, I don't care if somebody else wants to kill them. I just don't want to.
Okay.
You know, it's too much. It's besides, you know, I've seen that done. You've got to gut them, you got to clean them, you got to prep. That's too much work. I'll go where it's already packaged in the store.
That is definitely a lot of work.
Yeah, it is. Now, you know, if society goes to, you know, hell in a handbasket, yeah, sure, I can shoot. Yeah.
You guys want me because I know how to do all that stuff.
We'll keep you alive then.
Yeah, thank you.
You got to remember, people are food too in those times.
So... this conversation about this young man out there, because as I said, you know, I was watching this Mind, Body, and Soul show, and they had this panel on gun control, and they started getting into the politics of it. And then they brought up how we don't know what to do with our vote, and the people who want to stop gun violence, talking about the Democrat Party, we won't support them and then we don't hold them accountable when they go in. There was a former former gangster there, and he said he doesn't vote for party and or race. He votes for who's going to do whatever he needs for himself. I happen to like that answer. Mm-hmm. But the young lady who was the advocate from another nonprofit group who has political allegiances to the Democrat Party, she said that, you know, the gun violence, they're trying to take guns off the street, but we won't let them because the legislators won't vote for it.
Well, wait a minute.
Because the president is doing everything in his power to make that happen, but because...
Both her and the president are idiots. I mean, let's just look at the facts. Let's look at the pure data. Let's look at the numbers. What happened when they introduced guns back into the inner city? Sticks?
Well, the crime rate went down.
Oh, wait. Why do you think it went down?
Because the good people had guns again.
Okay.
Always.
And murders went down?
Mm-hmm.
And robberies went down?
Did they really?
Yes.
Yes, these are... We're backed up
the
by
cities.
If you look at the
gun violence rate in the United States, and you take out the five cities with the most strict gun control laws, the United States is about third from the bottom in the world in gun violence.
Okay.
The places in the United States with the highest rate of gun violence
have gun control
are the
laws.
Cities with the strictest gun control laws.
Does that make any sense to you?
No.
The problem isn't guns. The problem is the heart.
Why do you say that?
No, the problem isn't guns. The problem is lack of guns.
No, I want to
no,
hear
no,
how,
the,
I want,
the problem.
He said the problem is the heart. What do you mean?
Because the people that are committing these gun crimes don't have a proper feeling of right and wrong. They don't care if they're killing somebody.
They're sociopaths.
Yes.
And you know what? You're not going to stop them from obtaining guns illegally.
Right. It is illegal to own a toy gun in the nation of Mexico. It's illegal to own a toy gun that even resembles a real gun. They have to be like bright pink and all kinds of stuff. Yet Mexico, the nation of Mexico, has one of the highest gun violence rates on the planet.
And they're not even the size of you know, the United States, and they've got twice as many murders. Especially along the border with the United States.
Can I talk to Jeff for a minute?
Yeah.
Because Jeff knows.
No, Jeff and Diva are having a major conversation on Facebook.
Yeah, Diva just...
And while both of them are listening to the show, they are really going at it on Facebook. Jeff and Diva are pecking away.
There's a couple other people in there that are very...
What are you talking about?
We're talking about the death penalty and how you can... throw your Christianity away and support wickedness. I don't understand it.
Well, it's
I don't
a spirit,
see it.
Jeff. You told me, it's a spirit.
Yeah, but
an evil spirit are blinding these people.
I have a very good
think
friend,
close to God.
A very good friend in this conversation,
mm-hmm.
who I have a great deal of respect for as a prophet of God, a minister. However, I can't get to this at all. I can't see how you can talk about you
killing
can
babies.
Yeah, killing babies, legalizing
gay marriage.
Not only gay marriage,
yeah,
now
supporting
pedophilia.
Supporting gay marriage, yeah.
Now pedophilia.
You think pedophilia is really going
well,
to
have a president? Hold on. The president never came out and said he supported that.
Not yet.
Okay, but let's not – you talk about demonizing it. We don't want to do this to the president.
The problem is what this generation accepts, the next generation thinks is normal. What this generation tolerates, the next generation will think is normal. In fact, they will embrace it.
Mm-hmm.
Look at where we've come just since the 50s in our collective morality as a people.
Because
was it Woody Hayes said he loved it when the air was clean and sex was dirty?
I don't know who it was. Was it Woody Hayes?
I think it was.
The air was clean. The air wasn't clean then.
Yeah, back during the 70s. In 60s, it was pretty bad.
I mean, the air was really bad. There was gold in them hills in that air.
Yeah.
That black dust in Youngstown was doing
yeah,
well.
Once you got outside of town, it wasn't too bad.
Oh, okay.
Well, down in Columbus, they have too many steel mills.
That's right.
So.
But there was a farmland.
Mm-hmm.
Columbus was nothing but farm.
A lot of manure in the air.
Columbus was nothing but farm and
right.
cows.
Well, I can put a twist on that. I liked it better when the manure was in the field instead of in the White House.
Ben,
I just want to put a twist on it, make it current.
So I'm just having, you know, when I look at the guns and I look at the legislation and I look at the lack of education and I look at this young lady, and I said to my mom when I saw her talking about this gun legislation, I said, the problem is she has no idea what she's talking about.
She will when she gets held up by gunpoint in a city.
No, it's not about being held up by gunpoint. We think that if you take the gun away from someone, it's going to stop the violence because they act like, you know, criminals are not going to have guns. They also act like, and the way she put it, she has no idea how to move legislation from how the process works. She went to school and got a degree in it, but she has no clue.
Tracy, they didn't use guns in Darfur.
What did they use?
Machetes.
Well, you can't have a knife either.
Well, we're going. So if gun control doesn't work and the gangbangers in these cities don't keep killing each other after we disarm the good people, we're going to take away their knives next?
Yeah.
We're going to take away their plastic knives?
Yeah.
We're going to take away their fists?
Yeah.
We're going to take away their 2x4s?
We're going to take away all the pipes.
We're going to take away all the rocks.
We're going to have a very...
We're going to take away all the rocks.
We're going to have a very, 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 very nice utopia.
People have been figuring out ways to kill each other ever since Cain and Abel. So they don't need guns. They'll just beat each other in the head with rocks if they have to.
We're going
to
all live in peace and harmony because we're all going to be one. The young man that got killed out there at LAX, they said he was a conspiracy theorist and he was yelling one world order or something on order on that.
And I also heard that he wrote a letter to his brother, said he wanted to commit suicide. So it looks to me like a case of suicide by cop.
No matter what, however it happened, and they said that there were a lot of guns inside of LAX. They just missed him by moments, or however that meant. But I'm just saying they're using these cases, and they are really out to take all the guns of all the civilized Americans. They're going to wrap you up into health care, and you're going to be messed up when you get done with it.
They're going to put Prozac in the water.
They might as well. We're already there.
That's true. A huge percentage of the American population is on some kind of psychotropic drug.
Absolutely.
This is true.
And the rest of them are drinking.
Right. Or smoking pot. Or getting high on something. I think the mayor of Toronto. Toronto, they found him smoking crack.
Oh, he was just drunk. You know what?
That's the heaviest crack smoker I've ever seen in my life. I ain't never seen nobody that heavy on crack. You? He was a big boy. You ever seen a fat person on crack?
John Belushi was on crack.
I ain't never seen a big boy. I ain't never seen a big boy on crack like that. He must not have been a long-time user. He must have just hit it one time or something, because I ain't never seen a fat person on crack.
Oh, I have.
You know? Yeah, I think I've, yeah. Well, out in L.A., it's been kind of...
Don't try to hide it now.
I'm not hiding it. I'm just, you know, I was fat at one time, and I did a lot of crack, and
That's why your brain is my brain on drugs.
Yeah.
The number is 347-945-5229. Alabama, your mic is up. I just thought I'd bring up that topic because it really baffled me, and I couldn't believe that we had this conversation, and here they are again, saying that the president is all right.
Well, what baffles my mind is, why don't people realize the answer is maximum freedom? It's not clamping down on people. The more you clamp down on people, the more you turn the average American into a criminal.
You know, I have some of the best research people in the world.
Okay.
Bill just sent me the letter to the Plinta and Gretz.
Cool.
There is a difference.
Yes, I was just looking at that a little bit ago.
What was the difference?
One is a coarsely ground meal. The other one is a finely ground meal.
Thank you very much. But there is a difference.
Yeah.
And grits are fine. Which one's
coarse?
Fine?
Hominy is.
Hominy. It's a coarser grit.
Right.
And then polenta is finer.
Right.
Uh-huh.
So then it takes grits to make polenta, but they're both made out of corn.
They're all made out of corn. The whole thing is grain.
So is mush. That's what I'm – oh, I love mush.
Mush or mash?
Mash or mush?
Corn mush. Cornmeal mush.
It's all vetted.
It sounds an awful lot like this polenta stuff that he's talking about. You take and make like a cornmeal batter, and you put it in a loaf pan, and then you slice it and fry it and smother it in maple syrup.
Ain't that cornmeal mush?
Mush. That's what I said, mush.
But ain't that mash? Hello? For my cooks out there, ain't that mash?
It's mush. Mash is what you make whiskey out of.
No, mash. That's hops.
No. You make whiskey out of mash.
Well, it says Italian polenta and American grits are both dishes known as cornmeal mush.
There you go.
Made from boiled ground cornmeal.
Mm-hmm.
Polenta is made from yellow cornmeal and bright yellow, and grits, on the other hand, are made from white cornmeal and have a pale white color. Both polenta and grits, which are in American Southern, can be eaten like a soft porridge.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but,
what?
Yo, girl,
Jesus.
Call her up.
Why?
Because here it is. Here.
Why do I want? Why do you want to call Diva up? You guys have been chatting all along.
No, you
ain't even been talking. You
need to talk.
You
about
and her been just talking.
Yeah,
about and even about the conversation.
Because you guys were talking about something I didn't care nothing about. I mean, I had nothing to add. I'm sorry. It does. I'm sorry. But here's the thing.
Well,
no, so when we talk about when we talk about football, like I'm a real football enthusiast, I'd just start doing something else.
Are you guys
talking about Obamacare? Because I just found
What are you talking about?
No, we're talking about the whole Obama administration debacle, the scandals, all of that stuff.
What about
and
it? He hasn't done anything wrong.
Well, like I said, no, of course he's not done anything wrong.
He ain't done nothing right either, but...
I mean, geez, oh, man.
Well, anyway.
He ain't done nothing. I mean, Jeff, he's got a... The only reason why he hasn't gotten anything else done is because you guys keep blocking him. I don't know what your problem is.
Yeah, that's it.
I mean, don't you know...
Everything he's done has been according to plan. Everything he's done has been what was supposed to happen.
Absolutely.
I met somebody the other day, and he told me that President Obama was a genius. He was incredibly a genius. He was the best thing since sliced bread, and that we need to follow in his footsteps because he's a great guy.
Oh, yeah.
I think he is a very intelligent man. He's just a socialist communist, and he wants to destroy the United States as we know it.
He believes that the fundamental foundation of America is flawed.
Yes, he believes that, and he said it in his own words, that the Constitution is a bill of negative rights, what the government can't do to you, and it needs to be positive rights, what the government has to do for you. He said it himself. I mean, you can't fault the man. He hasn't lied to anybody about that. He just lied about your doctor.
Can't keep your benefits or your doctor.
Well, how about that? He said he wanted a single-payer system as well. So, I mean, you have to kind of – when was he telling the truth? When was he lying? I think he was being honest when he said he wanted a single-payer system because common sense, if you take people off – if 8 to 10 million people drop off, prices are going to rise for everybody, which means more people are going to drop off, which means prices are going to continue to rise, and we're going to get the single-payer. That's what they wanted.
Yeah. Right, you have to make it so miserable that people beg for anything. I mean, you literally have to create a system where people are dying in the streets so they're willing to accept anything. Absolutely, and that's what he's done. That's what the Democrats have done with this bill, without a single Republican vote, I might add. There was no...
Well, hold on. I mean, you have to blame the people, but you have to blame the people for...
Because they're the ones who want it.
Yeah, they're the ones that did it, and so... You got a lot of people that think, well, this is something that the people wanted. So, I mean, it's the low-education voters that did this.
I don't think they did in this case. I think the elected representatives went against the will of the people and went against the will of the people that elected them, and we saw the
Well, why did
the
he
back,
get reelected?
The backlash from that.
Six?
Saw the No, I'm talking about the Congress, not the president. And the president, I think, was reelected because he learned how to use the Electoral College in a huge part of the country. Was gone around.
Well, hold on. The huge part of the country wasn't gone around. That's not what happened. And people that live in the rural and suburban areas need to understand that's not what happened. What they allowed to do is they have ignored the urban settings for so long because they think with white flight,
mm-hmm.
they left everything there to be for their own demise because they don't care. As long as it don't happen to me and my four and no more, I don't care. And what they did was because they kept they sucked the money out. They left the people who were less fortunate and impoverished in there and left the wackadoodles to themselves and thought, just because I leave you there, I don't have to be bothered with you. I don't care if you have an education, and I don't. We just don't care. And we're going to take all the money, all the resources, everything from you. And what happened was they found a way, and they looked at the numbers, and the sheer number shows if you go after all of the big major cities and you get that vote out, and you go get the young people and get that vote out, you will overcompensate for the rural areas who will not vote and who are very, very complacent in their in where they are. And that's what they did. The first time they did it, and it was masterful. They understood it, and they did it. And the second time they did, they scared the crap out of black people to make them stand in line because they were going to put them back in chains.
And don't forget, the Republicans ran a Mormon, so the evangelicals didn't show up.
Correct. And the Mormon would not speak to the evangelicals.
Right.
Well, hold on. At this most critical time right now, in the middle of a recession, they take over 1/6 of the economy. For a person to say, I'm not going to vote because he's an evangelical, is, I think, just whims crazy, because you could be a Muslim, and I would have voted because your belief system, whether it may be a heresy or whatever, at the end of the day, it still comes down to.
But no,
where
no,
you stand
no,
on the
they didn't
stand
speak
all
to it.
Well,
but Alabama,
the court,
they didn't
Alabama.
Speak to it. See, you have to understand, if you're going to use the evangelical as your base and then ignore them when you put somebody up that you don't agree with and don't answer them, then what I'm going to do, because I look at Mormonism as an occult, and if I look at Mormonism as an occult and then I look at that president as a liar, do you really think I'm going to go play in that sandbox?
And not only that, I mean,
well,
it,
I mean, right now, okay,
we had African Americans in Ohio that wouldn't vote for Ken Blackwell just because he was Republican.
Well, you had that's something different, because in the black community, their politics is their faith. But when you look at evangelicals, let me finish. What people don't realize is faith trumps everything for those who are true evangelicals. Faith, and you cannot convince politicians that faith will override everything that they believe, no matter who's in office, because they don't believe that anybody can have that kind of faith
right.
to sit out.
Right.
Go ahead, Alabama.
Well, that's Machiavelli, the Prince, says put politics before faith. That's what all of them follow, Republican and Democrat. But you said that. See, the thing is this. If you're going to turn around, and I know I sound like South Carolina saying that, but the thing is, like, if you're going to turn around and say that, you know, we're going to stay out of this sandbox because of whatever, well, the game is getting played on you. Whether you want it, look, I couldn't stand Mitt Romney. He was the worst candidate to run. He even now is figuring out he considered Chris Christie.
Did you consider
Chris Christie? That's what I'm saying. He actually thought he can get Chris Christie in on it. So that just goes
else.
To show you the lunacy of the and how this party has been hijacked. And
no,
I feel like right
Alabama,
now
Alabama, look at what's going on here. He was trying to find somebody who was going to be bring more excitement to the campaign because Romney could not. His personality would not allow him to bring excitement. He's not an exciting kind of guy. He wears magic underwear.
And then you're going to get Paul Ryan. Okay, that was a good idea.
No, hold on. Paul Ryan was safe because where he was leading, Chris Christie had so much luggage when it came to New Jersey and things that he'd done in the past and with his family and with him being with the big bankers. The last thing he needed was somebody else in there who was going to show that he was a favorite.
I would have chose Rubio because you would have at least split the Hispanic vote, at least 40% of it. That would have got it right there.
But Rubio may have told him no.
Look,
and Rubio wasn't even on the list. It wasn't even on the short list.
You can get somebody from obscurity. You can get any Hispanic. You don't have to pick from these big names that the media. See, this is the thing. The media have figured out, we're going to tell you who you need to get. We're going to run these names, and you have to pick from this list of names, or you can't play in our
family. That's not how that works. There's a short list. And you got a bunch of people who are sitting around, and they are trying to figure out who's
on the short list.
Who?
Sarah Palin was not on the short list.
Sarah Palin wasn't on the short list, but she was bringing something different to that. Because remember, McCain wanted Lieberman.
He was a leftist. Look, he was a leftist.
McCain,
he tried to
he
come
was
back
a leftist,
to the right.
But McCain wanted Lieberman. Are you
look,
paying
attention? He tried to come back to the right and got Sarah Palin.
He couldn't come back to the right.
The only listen, he did not try to come back to any right. The only thing he did was he tried to bring Sarah Palin in. There's a good reason why he tried to bring Sarah Palin in. Do you remember what it was?
Uh-huh. Women. What?
It didn't have nothing to do with women because he wasn't going to draw women.
What?
She had just been named the year before Governor of the Year by 49 other state governors in the governor's convention. That is what you had going on. That's why they picked her, because they thought that she would be popular enough because 49 other governors of both parties could not be wrong.
She just wasn't ready for the national platform.
That's not the point. That's why they did it. I'm just saying why they did it.
They just weren't ready for the national platform. You're welcome. So, I mean, what I'm saying is, you know, and then she was a woman. She brought an energy to the race. She just could not sustain it. She couldn't handle it. But Chris Christie was going, you know, he was a bulldog, which means Democrats were going to like him. We like him. People like him. We like a fighter.
I don't like him.
Please, because, can we just convince Condoleezza to run?
Yes.
She said no.
Yeah, she's doing something for the football.
Who cares
what
she
says?
What'd
you say, Mike?
Her to run. I says, who cares what she wants? Let's just order her to run. If
yes,
we want, if
I
we
agree.
See a black person, we want. What happened to good old days? We could just tell black people what to do.
Mike,
we just
even,
order
Mike.
Her to run. That's what she
Mike.
Wants. It's what's good for the country, dear.
No. No.
Places have had
this
place
her.
In politics.
I don't blame her. I wouldn't run for
you.
I wouldn't run.
The woman has a thing called self-respect, and no way she wants to jump in with all these idiot men and all their head games and everything else they play. The woman has some respect
just,
for herself.
You know,
they had a big
it's
issue
just,
with her being on the bowl collection, the playoff selection committee for next year. They had a major issue with that. So,
yeah,
who had a major issue with that?
Idiots.
The guy, the old car, was it Pat Dye? Was it Pat Dye? One of them said had a major problem with her. They said she's a woman. She doesn't know what it's like to be out there. You know, and a lot of these coaches hadn't played a lick of ball at themselves, but for some reason, Condoleezza Rice wasn't, you know, qualified in his eyes to be able to pick, you know, who should run for, who the top eight teams are going to be next year in the BCS bowl playoff system.
You know, folks are just stupid. I just thought I'd throw it out there.
I freely admit that there's a lot of women out there that know a lot more about sports than I do.
I'm laughing at you.
Why are you laughing at me?
Because of what you just said.
What?
The
people
are
just
stupid.
Yeah, because when we say that, we get yelled at.
Yes.
Because you call people stupid.
I call them ugly and stupid.
I tell them that's stupid.
No, you tell people they stupid. I'm telling you, folks are just
stupid.
Yeah, but they're
what's
talking to somebody when you say it.
What's the difference? You know what?
I've got everybody.
Wait a minute.
Absolutely. I've
got a solution here. Why don't we just order the person that becomes president to have Condoleezza Rice as his or her advisor?
No. She don't want that either.
Yeah, she would.
Barack Obama didn't listen to his advisors. Barack Obama advisors told him, look, the tax rate is best around 28%. They're not listening. His own people telling him that. So, and he's trying to get it higher. In fact, he got it higher. So
yeah.
That's what they were saying. 28 is the optimal number to bring
well,
in as much as people are going to feel motivated.
Well,
that's
what happens when you have severe lead deficiency.
Yeah.
When is lead deficiency?
When you get too much lead in.
No, no, when you don't have enough lead between your ears. You know, sometimes they need a little lead injection.
Mm-hmm. Hello?
That's what, you know, happens when you're real stupid. You have
I'm
going to
take a break. I'll be right back. Alabama and South and Alabama. Diva, your mic is open. Mike, Alabama, your mics are open. I'm going to take a break.
Hey, Diva didn't come see me this weekend. I was waiting at the store there. She never stopped in to say hi or nothing.
Diva lives in Columbus.
If she was here this weekend.
How do you know she was here this weekend?
She told me.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't see.
So Diva was in town. Alex, your mic is open, too. So Diva was in town, and she didn't come by and say hi to us?
Yeah.
I think she's on her way back now because she just said she's got to get in the car and go back home.
So Diva was here, and she didn't stop in to see us?
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, she must not.
Wow.
Maybe she spent all her time with Steve.
I don't know.
Oh, yes.
No.
Maybe she spent her time with
Steve.
She wouldn't come see me.
No.
My girl, Diva.
I get enough hate mail from y'all listeners and y'all Facebook friends in my inbox. I don't need somebody coming and trying to blow up the studio just because I'm in there.
There you go.
Now, blow up the studio, you're safe here because this is Democratville, USA. They think
put a bomb underneath my vehicle.
Listen, if anybody's going to blow up the studio, it's going to be me, and I don't have gas today, so don't worry about it.
Diva?
I'm working on it.
I thought she was going to be my campaign manager.
Huh?
I thought she was going to be my campaign manager.
You
I
would have
stayed home, Diva. I would have stayed home so you could come in here.
I'm taking a break.
I thought I was coming to Columbus.
That's okay, Diva. They don't have to know you and I spent the weekend together. It's not their business. But I'll never be the same.
Well, Mike, you just put it out there.
I'll never be the same. You're awesome, babe.
You just put it out there, Mike. Thanks a lot.
I know. Hey, is it up on my reputation? It's your reputation that would suffer if that were the truth. For me, it'd be a plus. It'd be bragging rights at the playground.
Well, I don't know. They might cut you off on the radio.
Okay, you're worth it.
Guilt by association. You might become a socialist next.
Maybe.
Oh, man.
Alabama, how are you?
What's going on?
Oh, life, work. I'll start my second shift.
Okay.
Pardon?
Okay.
And we're just
same here.
Keeping it going.
Yeah, I'm in Alabama today, though.
Oh, you're back home.
Yeah.
South Carolina is busy. Tomorrow's the election, and today's his last day of campaigning, so.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure he's busy.
Yeah, yeah. He did take time to call me. I got to return his call. I thought maybe he'd be on the line here, but probably not. Not with all that's going on. I guess Alex is here, too, hiding in the background, lurking around in the background, waiting for one of us to say something he couldn't refute.
Okay.
Yeah. Just had an emotional experience. I watched the 50th anniversary video of the founding of the Young Marines of America, and I was one of the original kids in the program 50 years ago, and with some of my friends and stuff. We were all kids at risk in the inner city and stuff, and we were just watching that, what this thing has become from a handful of us that a few folks just said, oh, just let's teach them some values and let's just, you know, make them accountable to a male role model. And the half-dozen Marines from World War II who would meet with us on Friday nights and teach us how to march and drill and do all that other stuff, and what that grew into. There's like 14,000, 15,000 kids in the program now, and nobody ever thought it would get that big. We were just, 13 kids at risk. So.
Oh, okay. That's great. I never heard of it, but it sounds like a great program.
Yeah, nobody's heard of it, but yet the United States Congress actually gives a little extra money to the United States Marine Corps through the Marine Corps League because it is proven to be the most effective youth anti-drug program in the world. There's more kids on drugs in the Boy Scouts than there will ever be in the Young Marines because they just teach a whole different set of values and personal respect and leadership. And I mean, we had to show them our report cards. We feared them, the DIs, more than we feared our mothers, because they'd have us doing push-ups until the next report card came out.
Okay.
And they taught us to drill and everything else. They taught us, I mean, it was like, you just got to understand where we're coming from, you know, the self-esteem that you get when you're marching down the street, and it's in the cadence, you can hear it, and it's like you're in the streets of your hometown and other towns throughout New England and stuff where we used to march and stuff, and we used to go to drill competitions in the parades in front of the governors of various states, and I'm looking at this thing here. We took first place and second and third place in one parade, Governor's Parade, and we were competing against the United States Army and Air Force drill teams, and 13-year-old kids took first and third place.
Really?
We were that good. We were squared away little dudes. We really were. And we were all, and we were the punks. We were all the gang members and everything else, and they'd like these guys like just loved us.
But discipline has a great effect on youth. Like, I feel like that's where fathers should come in. I think when you bring discipline into a situation, mixed with right intentions and love and stuff, and do, I think it'll really, it's like aiming a person in the right direction and giving them the right tools. I think that, you know, I mean, that just goes miles. I mean, eons for people to really get their lives together. I don't think you can.
People don't believe it, but kids really do like being accountable, and they do like to know what their limits are, and they also like to have opportunities to do things that they can win at, you know, and really, you know, and compete and find out what they're made out of. Kids like competition, and kids really do.
The fact of winning and losing and not worrying about the feelings and just being emotional and just saying, you know what, it's not about that. I'm going to win or lose, but I'm going to go out swinging. You know, I think that's good.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, there's nothing like, you know, that's what I like about basketball sports is because it teaches you that in the early age. And statistically, when kids participate in sports, they come out very, you know, mentally stable, you know, well-developed, because it does teach you that.
Yeah. And that they taught us to be innovative, you know, and overcome and all this other stuff. You know, like, that's why when I see the movie Heartbreak Ridge, I was talking to some of my buddies who then went on to be a Marine Corps. Matter of fact, one of them is being honored this year on the anniversary of the Marine Corps. He wrote a book called Flying Death and All, and his helicopter squadron is being deactivated because now they're going to the vertical takeoffs, the Ospreys and all that. And he was a crew chief on a 46, and he's being honored. And when I look at when I think where Sam went, Sam became the first black police sergeant in our town. He became the first black detective. He was on the commissioner's board. He's now the liaison for the Marine Corps League of New England, commandant of the Marine Corps League of New England. He was in the streets because he came from the streets. He had no problem taking some of these little punks and slamming them up against the car and saying, you're going to either straighten out or I'll kill you right here, kid. And there's a lot of kids back home in our hometown. Like, he was like the Dirty Harry of our neighborhood, you know, later on when many of us lived in that same neighborhood, you know, as adults. And all the kids loved Sam, respected Sam, and everything else because he gave them limits. He gave them discipline when they weren't getting it at home and stuff. And a lot of kids went on to straighten themselves out, and a lot of kids went into politics and everything else back home. And these were all kids at risk, the ones that nobody would ever thought would amount to anything. And they're pretty much the movers and shakers back home now.
Yeah.
Because of Sam. It's because of Sam and Tony and a whole bunch of other guys who just said, no, we got to have a better way. And a couple of the kids, you know, we were juvenile delinquents. My buddy Eddie, one day a judge said to him, look, here's the deal. Today's Thursday. Tuesday you come back here, and you're going to give me your choice. You're either being enlisted in the Marine Corps, or you're going down for 2 years at juvenile hall, parole school, or whatever they used to call it, you know. And Eddie's fine.
Yeah, I remember they used to do that. Well, they'll say you either sign up. They don't do that a lot now. It's
no,
just straight jail now.
No, exactly. And so what happened with Eddie was, you know, he went through the Marines. He had been in the Young Marines with us. He went through the Marines. He had some idea of what to expect and got assigned to an aircraft carrier in Vietnam. Marines don't have much to do on an aircraft carrier. So rather than stay idle, he started just walking around different offices and areas and seeing what he could do to help out, fix things and stuff. And one day he walked into where they did the data punch for the computers and stuff, the old computers. And he sat down, and somebody taught him how to do it. He helped him catch up on their paperwork. He gets out of the Marine Corps, and he lands himself a job working for Pan American Airlines in the computer room. And he did so well at that. When they closed, he went to one of the big banks, BB&T, retired at 55 years old, very well off, and now Eddie teaches kids in the public school system about fishing and stuff like that, from kindergarten up to a senior in high school. He teaches them how to grow fish, catch fish, you know, and just have a little hobby that is healthy and wholesome. I'd get outside and do something, you know. And pretty much just about everybody in the program, we went on to do something with our lives. I feel like the most underaccomplished of the bunch, to be honest with you.
Yeah. It, you know, the military, I think it has its benefits. Well, I do. I think it's a great, you know, way to think. I think it's a great way to help people. I do feel as though I hate to see someone go in there because they don't have money. Like,
no, that's the wrong.
Yeah, I feel like if you're going to join the military, join it because that's what you want to do.
Right.
I hate to see people, well, I'm just joining for the GI Bill. Or I'm just joining for, I hate that because there's so many ways to go to college. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Education should never be a reason to go to the military. I know that's what the recruiters tell you. They're just trying to get their quota.
Exactly.
And, you know, I feel like if you want to go, you got to see it as a value in your life. Like, I want to go because of this. And I'm glad I didn't go. I actually was supposed to go to Air Force, but I'm glad I didn't go. I actually swore in and everything.
Well, that was what was great about the young Marines. They never told us that when you, you know, they never indoctrinated us to become Marines. But I'll tell you, a lot of us saw their values and saw what they were making with their lives, and a lot of us just connected the dots and said some type of military service wouldn't be a bad thing, you know. And, I mean, the guys that drilled us as kids and started the whole thing just so they're a bunch of, so that they and a few of their own children could march in a Memorial Day parade once. That's what started the whole thing. What happened was, you know, it wasn't about indoctrinating them to join the service, but to be exposed to these guys. These guys were real heroes, Alabama. These guys wore the patches on their uniforms, Guadalcanal, Okinawa, you know, Guam, every major campaign in World War II fought in the Pacific. These guys fought. And they were family men. You know, they came back. They were tool makers and teachers and stuff like that, and they had their family and stuff. And you felt pretty special when on your way to school in the morning you had to go by their house in the morning and you had to show them your homework was done and that your clothes were neat and clean and your shoes were shined. And it was funny because we had a dress code that you had to wear pants with a crease down the front. And they thought they were going to be so cool. Couldn't afford anything but, well, these called dungarees in those days. I don't know if you ever tried to press a crease down the front of dungarees. Well, we did it.
Oh, yeah. With the starch, I used to do that.
Yeah. And we used to have...
My mom used to go to the thrift store. We used to go to the thrift store. So I was raised up until about junior high on just straight thrift store shopping. So...
Yeah. And we had starch cuffs and starch collars. And we knew how to do that. We did our own ironing. They taught us how to do military pleats in our shirts and all that. We went to school. We went to grammar. Now, we were still the same little handful that we always were. But after a while, even the teachers began to go, we don't know what you're doing with these kids, but, man, they're just more respectful. They're trying to learn more. They're trying to, you know. And it's just like somebody was watching. And again, it's like the famous quote by Lou Gerstner, the guy that straightened out IBM about 15 or 20 years ago, because IBM almost went out of business. And what he said was, what he learned was people do not what you expect. They do what you inspect, and that's what happened to us. Knowing that somebody was going to come behind us and check to see if our homework was done, was it done right, was our shoe shined, and all, we began to rise to the occasion.
Yeah. That's what I feel about education. I believe we should be raising standards, and if you don't meet them, fail. Like, I don't have no problem with a 10th grade level graduation exam. You have people in my city. They lowered down into elementary, like fifth grade, and people were still flunking, 12th grade senior.
I know. And if they want to go to college bad enough, they got to pass a full-blown college entrance exam. Otherwise, you just don't get to go to college. Rise up to the bar rather than keep lowering the bar.
Well the thing is, this is something I said a couple of days ago. I think people take too much emphasis and place it on the ACT, SAT.
Yeah.
You can technically go to college. You can go to a community college for just with an 8 on the ACT if you want.
Yeah.
You can go to a community college,
Get
your 36 hours, and transfer in as a transfer student. All you got to do is just go to class. It has nothing to do with these tests. These tests are just to see where you're supposed to measure up in college. But I'm a living example to show that it wasn't that way. College is not based on some test. So, you know, I wasn't a good high school student. But I took calculus and advanced AP science, all that, you know, AP history.
Yeah.
But I wasn't a good student. But when I got to college, I didn't skip a beat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I was.
I was actually more advanced than a lot of the freshmen because they were taking general math, general history. That's the I could have been a 4.0 student had I not taken the classes I took in high school.
Yeah. Okay.
Well,
so I've got a nice box collection.
That's trading stock for the upcoming collapse.
Yeah, no kidding.
You
alcohol.
Guys, listen to you guys.
I'll trade you a bottle of this for a case of ammo.
What are y'all talking about online? Because these people around here, they just, it's a bad combination in here.
We were talking about making children accountable and organizations like the Young Marines of America and how the kids who were all kids at risk 50 years ago when they started the program, how they all went on to make something out of their lives and they were all from ghetto, quote unquote, and we were all the kids at risk, and we were talking about that.
What does ghetto mean? Because you know we keep on calling ghetto.
You know, I know.
You know what does that mean?
I'm using it in the broadest sense of the term, in the original connotation of the word, being a Yiddish word, a ghetto or a German word, is a region in town where everybody is pretty darn the same socioeconomic group, religious group, and everything else. It means more like community or hood than it does impoverished. However, the people who coined the phrase tended to be the immigrants in an area and who tended to be then the lower socioeconomic people and the people who were pretty much the outcasts on the bottom of society that year.
Exactly.
I just wanted to make sure we had a good definition of that because most, you know, people like to use ghetto and then black folks think when you say ghetto, you're talking about them. And
there's nothing black about ghetto whatsoever.
They forget that the Jews were locked in the Warsaw ghetto.
That's right.
That's when the word became, I guess.
In popular usage.
Yeah.
Yes.
And what happened to those Jews in the ghetto?
They loaded them on trains and took them to take showers.
And what happened in those showers? Oh, they ran out of just gas.
It was a one-way shower. They didn't have to worry about drying off.
And who are the people that live in the ghettos today?
Well, depends what city you're in. Some cities it's the Spanish, some cities it's still black folks, and other cities it's
across the country it's predominantly black. Every ghetto
is predominantly. When socialists are in charge, what usually happens to the ghettos?
They kill them.
Oh.
Well, they got to take the guns first, like old girl said on the show. They got to take the guns first.
That's what I'm saying. Are you following me? You didn't see that yesterday in Alabama, did you?
No, I didn't see it, but I mean, I'm not surprised.
You honestly think the Crips and the Bloods are going to give up their guns?
Turn your mic up to you.
Do they honestly think that the Crips and the Bloods are going to give up their guns?
I don't think that, but I think you can take enough guns to where people will be helpless and it just be a few skirmishes here and there.
Because they said there are very, very few guns over in England.
Yeah, but they never did have guns the way we do. It was never a part of their society. I think if you want to look
England
at what
has a high firearm rate,
massive
though, by
gun
the way.
Control would end up in the United States, I think you need to look more at Mexico than the United than the UK.
Can I ask this question overall? And does anybody see America trying to morph into Europe?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we came out of Europe and we're trying to morph back into. Does it look like America is really trying to morph back into them? Is that what's going on? Because I mean, even if you look at television. As we globalize, you see more people from Europe on there and in England.
Well, that is a financial decision because the cultures are so closely mixed, you can use the same commercials in the UK as you can use in the United States. I think that's just a financial thing.
Yeah, but I'm talking about overall. I mean, if you look at what's happening, America's not trying to become a standalone country. It's just trying to morph back into the European Union.
But, Tracy, let me ask you a question, though. I mean, if you are a multi-quadrillionaire or whatever, and you are so powerful that you can affect the government, right, and, you know, what do people want to have money? More money. So, or they want to stop others from getting it. Then it stands to reason that you would manipulate the government with Machiavellian, you know, traits like this. Like, hey, I'm doing something good for you, but I'm really not. Like, so, I mean, if I was those guys and I was selfish and trying to be a corporatist, then I would do exactly what they're doing, which is, you know, acting as though, you know, I'm for the poor, but I'm screwing the poor at the same time. So,
you know how many Jews supported Hitler?
Oh, tons.
I mean, it was amazing, and they never believed that this man could do this to them. I mean, the letters that have survived and everything else that has survived from Nazi Germany, I mean, they were surprised. you know, when this all happened? Obviously, or they would have got the hell out of Dodge. You know what I'm saying?
Well, just a few years before Hitler came to power, the Jews had risen to a certain level of business in there. They were the businessmen. They were the educators. They were the professors. They were the bankers. They held down a lot of very desirable jobs. And I guess, and correct, Tracy, please correct me if I'm wrong, but I could draw a parallel between that and a comment that Tracy's made a few times about when black folks came into their own here after the Civil War. It seemed like every time they were just about on that edge where they were about to break through and become almost equal, they got put down again.
I mean, that's happened several times to the black community.
Yeah.
You know, and
that just happened with the housing bubble, because under the housing bubble, before, when it was on the way up, we had gotten to a level we'd never gotten to where, instead of us being 1/20th like we were in slavery, for every $12, it got down to like 1 to 12 as far as the wealth disparity between whites and blacks. And it's now popped all the way back down to where it was in 1865. But up until that point, we were actually heading up because of housing, home ownership. We were actually coming out, so to speak. I mean, I know somebody would probably call me Uncle Tom for saying that, but I mean, statistically, we were actually getting somewhere, and moving, the fastest growing moving group out of poverty was African Americans for a while. And I think in 1997, it started, and it got to a point, and it just kept going. It kind of took a hit at first around the early 2000s, but then we started climbing again. And under that last, no, the funny thing about this quote-unquote bubble now is nobody's getting any wealth but certain people because of QE. The economy is going in the other direction, as the guy, this is something the guy is training me on trading right now, like commodities and futures and stuff. We were talking about that, and he was just saying the economy is going in one direction. In some statistics, it's actually going straight or kind of going sideways, what they call ranging, but the actual stock market is just going just the fastest it's ever risen. I mean, we've never recovered in 3 years like we have, hitting all-time highs that fast. So when it corrects, it's going to go down real quick. But the only thing about mutual funds is you can't short the market if you got a mutual fund. So people right now that have jobs paying into mutual funds and 401k and retirement, they're going to get screwed real bad because they're paying all-time highs for stock. Nobody's ever paid this much for a stock right now, ever. And people are just pumping this money in their 401k, and they can't even go into ETFs. So when it goes, it's going to be a lot of wealth loss. People are going to really be hurting as far as retirement. So if you're in your late 50s, you better cash out.
That's a whole other show. I want to talk about what happens to old people. But go ahead, Alex.
Well, I was just going to say real quick, I can tell you exactly when that's going to happen. It's when the baby boomers start to pull their retirement out. Some people have estimated that as much as $50 billion a month will be pulled out of the stock market for several years, and you're going to lose 50% on your stock, on your 401k.
That's why they're printing money right now.
Why?
They told the same people that told Japan to do this, and Japan has not recovered. And they did this way back in the 90s, and they're messed up. We're doing the exact, and the same people, same names, same advisors are the same people that are doing us right now, the same way.
Yep.
See, this is my problem that I'm having with this, just so you guys know. I think you guys are close to something, but if you look at the indigents and how they're making, as you get older, long-term care is something that is not really, really promoted. So when you we're living longer. So when you turn 75, 80, and you're trying to, you need assistance of some type. When you go into a skilled nursing facility, they're taking anywhere from $5,500 to $6,000 a month for you to go into skilled nursing. So if you have any assets, you've got to pay your own way.
Can't have a house.
Can't have a house.
So you have to be homeless.
I mean, you
can't
have
a 401k.
You can't have an insurance policy.
Wait a minute. Yes and no. Because They're not allowed to take the house until the second spouse dies.
But when the second spouse dies, they take the house.
Right, right.
But if you get sick, you're destroying
intergenerational wealth.
But
absolutely.
But all the money that you've ever saved, until you spend down to zero, you
right.
pay on your own.
Right. Mm-hmm. Unless you've bought long-term care insurance.
Right. And long-term care insurance, by the time you get 35, 40 years old and you start buying into it, it's a couple hundred dollars a month.
Yeah.
I hate to show my ignorance because I don't know this for sure. Listen, let me get this straight. If you don't have a will and you die within a particular state, your money, everything you own goes to the state?
We're talking about senior care. We're talking about you still living.
Say you die and the balance you owe the nursing home is $100,000. They're going to liquidate your house to pay that $100,000 back.
And if you don't have a will, and if you don't have a will when you die, no matter where your children are, they have to go and go to through probate and then divide up all your assets
per the law.
Which the government does get a lot of that money.
The lawyers and the county government gets a lot of that money.
Yes.
Depending on how much you have.
Which is why you have so many lawyers today that are specializing in asset protection and
living trust and real estate
end of
trust.
Care. Yeah, end of life.
The guy that's counseling me, Sticks, is telling me, he was telling me how you can have a will set up. Say you set up a will this year. You die 6 years from now because the laws have changed. That's the way the government works. If they change the law, even though your will was valid in 2013,
right.
In 2018, if the laws change, that will is null and void.
Correct.
So you have to make sure you keep up with it year to year. You got to keep paying a lawyer to go back and fix stuff and do stuff. You can't just do it on your own. A lot of stuff because there's so much legal jargon involved.
Well,
and what I'm,
you can't do it yourself.
Mike.
You can.
No.
You can't do it yourself.
Probate.
You
could, probate.
You're
like,
if you've got any amount of money at all, you need an attorney because you need trusts and you need all this stuff that middle-class people didn't used to worry about. But now we do have to worry about it. Upper middle class people have to worry about these things now.
Well, I'll tell you like this. You really blow it if you can, unless you can get a parent to name you
the executor.
Forget executor.
Name you what?
POD.
Oh, payable on death. But that's on your bank.
That's for your bank account.
But that's for your bank account.
Well, your property too.
You can make a survivorship deed with your child on the deed.
But see, this is my issue. See, when you die, you're done. But before you're dying, I need to take care of you. And if you don't prepare for senior care, you're in trouble. And so many baby boomers right now, we're saving with our IRAs and our annuities and our 401ks and all that kind of stuff, and you know, we're at the end of the road. You have nothing.
But part of the problem of that is the government involved in this stuff instead of letting the free market handle it, because you could handle it with a free market, with in-home care and in-home nursing and visiting angels and all of that types of stuff, much less expensive.
No, Sticks.
But even if you have visiting angels, if you look at how much visiting angels cost or passport is still going to cost you anywhere from $7 to $1,000 a month inside your home for senior care. And if you're on a limited income, even no matter if you have a savings account, spending down $1,000 a month added to your livable expenses is still expensive. And what's happening is they're making people indigent, so there is no perpetual.
Intergenerational transfer of wealth.
Right.
People need to educate themselves because a lot of families have realized this and they're already setting up those legal things. So there is intergenerational transfer of wealth.
But a lot of people are not
because they're uneducated.
It's more than uneducated. It's more than uneducated. It's not even you. Your kids are crazy.
you need to set up family limited partnerships. You need to start doing this with the grandparents, the parents, and the kids while they're all alive.
Right.
Every time a family member buys a house, it's owned by the family limited partnership. You pay rent on it. That rent goes to pay off the mortgage. And
right.
Then you know your children and your grandchildren will own a percentage of that family limited partnership into the future. This is what the Kennedys do. This is what all the well-off
Mike.
People do.
Right.
Mike.
Yeah.
Right. I got a question for you. Have you ever seen folks, if you want to see a real ugly family fight, let mama die.
Yeah, let mama die when mama had something and everybody thinks they're entitled to a piece of it. If it's already part and owned by a family limited partnership and you already have your stock in that family limited partnership, it's already resolved from the time you're 7 years old. You already grow up knowing what the deal is.
That's the difference between wealthy families and poor families.
Correct.
Wealthy families understand how this system works.
Correct.
I have a lot of friends that are third, fourth, fifth generations into this type of a system.
Correct.
And they're building intergenerational wealth, and it's a snowball. Once it gets rolling, you
sure.
can't stop it. But the problem is that poor people and lower middle class people don't understand these concepts, so they don't teach their
That's
children
true.
These concepts from the time they're born. So we end up in a fist fight at Grandma's funeral.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah.
Hold on, guys. Private caller, your mic is on. I don't know if that's Brown, but your mic is on.
Yeah, it's Beasley. I'm listening.
Mr. Beasley.
And 782, Frank, your mic is up.
Hello, Tracy. I was listening to you guys talk about protecting your assets. One thing that's being used in Columbus I found out about is an instrument called a living trust. Irrevocable living trust
yeah.
is a way that you could put your assets in, your real property as well as chattel property, and it protects it so it automatically goes down to your heirs or your whoever you designate in this living trust. And it also kind of insulates it from any liabilities or,
well,
you know, if you're sued for non-payment of whatever. So that's one new way. Of protecting your assets. You might want to have one of your attorney friends come on and talk about living trust.
Yeah, but if it's a revocable, and this is what most attorneys are selling, a revocable living trust.
He said irrevocable.
Sam, but here, hang on. Most people don't know the difference between the two terms, and what most people are buying are the revocable trusts, where mama puts her house into a trust and everything else, but if she gets pissed off at the kids, she can take it out. And she can do all this, and she can change, and she's still in control. If you do a irrevocable trust, and you are the grantor, and you put your assets into there, you must give up all control over those assets. Otherwise, a creditor, a lawsuit, anyone can come in and just rip it apart in court. It's worthless. And unfortunately, most people are buying the wrong kind.
Well, if it's irrevocable. The owner of the trust has no control over it. So whatever liabilities that the owner incurs,
it's not levied
against the trust.
Yeah, but you see, most people, the unsophisticated, are afraid of that word irrevocable. And what ends up happening is, it's irrevocable. They can't undo it, but they stay in control of it. And see, because they do this thing here where they play phantom trustees. And then one trustee retires, gives it to another trustee who is truly a third party, arm's distance, and then he gives it back to you and makes you the trustee over your own property. And those kind of things just get ripped to shreds. And so again, most people do not understand what trusts are about.
Yeah.
And there are professional trust management companies that have been in business hundreds of years, and they manage the money for the wealthy.
I've seen irrevocable trusts be misused.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, yeah.
Where, for instance, say there's four siblings.
Mm-hmm.
Say two of the siblings get together or are closer to the elderly parent.
Mm-hmm.
They draft an irrevocable trust that cuts out the other two people, the other two siblings.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen this happen. All right, so the parent dies. There's a home that's free and clear. There's life insurance, and there's some other assets. There's no notification. Nothing's required to inform the other two siblings.
Well,
I've seen this happen.
Yeah.
And I've seen this happen. And that, well, I guess there's a downside to everything.
Yeah, but see, there, that, the initial structure of that was defective because as the grantor, you get to set the bylaws for the trustee to follow. And when
this happened when the elderly person was 93 years old, half there and half not there.
Yeah,
and you get put in front of a stack of documents by your two sons, who you figure you trust, who are getting the majority of everything anyway.
Right.
Or getting a person anyway, and they're telling you, and you might
have a 25-page document,
and they'll say, here, sign this,
this takes care of it.
Hey, Mike, you and Brown, you know you can't talk on top of each other, right?
I didn't know I was. I'm sorry. Tracy, what you don't understand about this Blog Talk Radio here on this side, sometimes it doesn't duplex. I think it's dead air, and I start talking, and the other person isn't done.
There's a delay. That happens.
Well, Mr. Beasley, what you're saying happened, what you're saying you've seen happen, I've seen that happen with the simple instrument of a
a will.
Of a power of attorney, where it happens in poor families all the time. You know, you catch grandma in the hospital when she's half out of her mind on some kind of narcotic, and you give power of attorney to one sibling, and the next thing, grandma's dead, and the other sibling's got everything.
It happens a lot.
That's challengeable in court, though, because when grandma made the contract, she did not have capacity, and that's one of the tests for, in plain words, she wasn't in her right mind, and there should have been somebody appointed by a court or a neutral party to represent her best interest.
And a poor to middle-class folks, or even middle-class folks, and it's going to take you anywhere from, I would say, $3,500 to $7,000 just to get an attorney to draw papers to contest that.
Yeah.
And when you're going after $50,000 house.
And even then it's a crapshoot.
Yeah. Right. And you're looking at going after a quarter of a $50,000 house and $10,000 in savings, so why bother?
Let me say something
right quick. Don't you guys find it kind of interesting that lawyers have gotten together and got this little guild going and basic things that you should be able to go down to the courthouse and say, hey, this is what I want, a simple this or that. You got to come off a minimum of $500 or more, $1,500, just to get a lawyer to do. Now, there are things you can do, but a lot of people don't know that. I mean, it was the incorporate.com, a lot of things. I mean, up to these websites, a lot of people, these lawyers, and even still, most people don't use that website. They're going to go get a lawyer and pay him at a brick-and-mortar lawyer office to go in and do things. And these guys, they've kind of really clogged up a lot. Lawyers are kind of like leeches to the government. They kind of got the government to twist, because there's a lot of things you can't do unless you have a lawyer. And I just don't think that's right.
Well, there's a lot of things that you want to get done properly, too. There's a lot of things that you're going to be unsure of.
I can go
file documents. Yeah, I know how to file documents. Do I know all the legal language? Can I afford to make a mistake at this? No, so I hire somebody.
But the thing is,
I'm not saying
Brown, hold on. The affordability of hiring someone could sometimes get you. You almost get held hostage trying to do the right thing.
Well, absolutely.
You do.
And some things, we're conditioned to think we need to hire an attorney for that are very simple.
If you simply read documents that have already been prepared, like for years I've done my own deeds. I've done my own mortgages. I've written my own real estate purchase and sales agreements from scratch. And the way I've done that is read existing documents. And lawyers are not the geniuses that we think they are. You know, boilerplate law. You know, they're just filling in the blanks of what's already been done. And even on top of that, if you simply go to Kinko's, or not Kinko's, but stationery stores like Staples, you can find all of those documents already made out. Just fill in the blanks pretty much, that all type of different deeds, from warranty deeds to quitclaim deeds to deeds that where married couples are involved and
Frank,
and things like that.
Frank,
yeah.
You know, it's good. I mean, those work well if you're doing just a deed. But it's a whole other thing when you're trying to do a trust on grandma and put everything in it and making sure
I found a trust in Columbus. You can find them online. Even if you go to Franklin County, Ohio's recorder's office where all the documents are recorded, you can pull up each and every document. You can search a document by name. You can pull up all the trust documents and actually view them in a PDF or a TIFF document file online, copy them, you know, read them, you know, white them out, fill them out, and just take them to an attorney for $50. An attorney will review it for you and say, yes, this is good, that's not so good, I would recommend this and that, as opposed to him filling the entire document out for you. And after, as long as you're doing it for your own private self, and any exchange or any agreement that involves you personally, you just need to take it to the notary and get the parties involved.
Sure. I don't disagree. I think if you have the knowledge and understanding of it, then you should have that choice. Or if, like Brown said, if you feel like you don't want to mess up and you don't understand the jargon. But I'm just saying there are a lot of times where I got to have a lawyer to do this. I got to have a lawyer. And it'd be something. I've seen times where it's like, well, why do you – like when I go to court, the lawyer, like, they'll charge you court fees. That lawyer will stand there, stamp a piece of paper. That's $100. He's stamping six and seven per person sometimes. And then he's getting – I mean, it's just crazy how it's set up. Like, it's just these lawyers have gotten to the point where they've gotten attached to the government. Like, and then they're talking
that's
about
the
local level, state and local county level. These lawyers are really kind of – got us by the neck. It's like you got to have a lawyer for anything nowadays. At least that's how people think.
Well, yeah. We've been conditioned to believe that you need a lawyer for a lot of things. For example, if you want to set up an LLC or an S-Corp in Ohio, all you have to do is go on the Secretary of State website, the forms
fill it
there,
out online. Right.
And fill it out online
Print
instead of $150.
That's why LegalZoom is becoming more and more popular.
Plus you got to have your articles, but that's it.
LegalZoom is becoming more and more powerful because of this same said subject here. You don't necessarily have to have a lawyer.
See, in Ohio, where that gets expensive with S-Corps is, in Ohio, an individual owner of an S-Corporation cannot represent the S-Corporation in court. For example, my S-Corporation has to hire an attorney when I do an eviction.
Right.
You also have to be careful because, like, LegalZoom only deals with, like, certain paperwork that you find online only deal with idyllic situations where people tend to agree. Now, when you have a very contentious situation, I would be someone who can do something on my own. I tried to file my divorce, or handle my divorce on my own. Somebody like my mother or somebody else, I wouldn't suggest that they try to do it on their own. It just comes down to because the way the court system works is every I has to be dotted, every T has to be crossed, and you can mess up in one little thing, and then they reject your application, they reject your petition.
And a lot depends
on
the judge.
And not every lawyer will take $50 or a few couple dollars to check over your paperwork because I've come across that in Columbus where a lot of attorneys will not just check over your paperwork. They want to file it themselves.
Well, anytime you're involved in court, you want to use a lawyer because they have their little fraternity, and the judges are part of that fraternity. And if you're not using their fraternity plan and their team players in their courts, they will penalize you. Anything other than that, you're welcome to play with it yourself.
Look, I had some tickets in Stock Ridge, Georgia. I had to pay a lawyer $1,500 just to get her to go in and stop Georgia from doing something stupid. I had to pay her just that much money just to get Georgia to where they said, okay, we're not going to resuspend it. But if I walked in there off the street, I mean, there's no telling what these judges, when you walk in there off the street without a lawyer in Stock Ridge, Georgia, I'm going to name the city, you walk in there without a judge, without a lawyer, they will hold you. They will do whatever. I mean, these people are – I sat there and watched them just putting people in jail I'm like, are they getting paid for this? Like, it was just, that's what they do. So, I mean, but when you pay one of their good, somebody in the good old boy network, you pay one of their friends, hey, Joe Bob, you don't even have to come to court. I mean, they'll just, okay, you sign this paperwork. I forget what they called it. But the lawyer filed that paperwork, and I didn't have to go to court. But I'm just telling you, that's what it's crazy what lawyers got set up now, where you should be able to do that as a citizen, but you don't know the law a lot of times.
They earned that position. And I'm not defending them, but they have to go through quite a few steps in order to get certified, in order to do the things that you're talking about.
Hey, I think a doctor should make a good living, Brian. I think a doctor should make a good living, but hey, 800,000, 900,000 a year, who's to say it shouldn't be 300 or 400?
Well,
that's all I'm
saying.
I agree with you.
With logic and good reasoning skills can sit and pass the LSAT and then can pass a bar. So, I mean, I think I would be a lawyer. Well, make a great lawyer.
In the state of California, to become a lawyer, no schooling is required. All you have to do is pass the bar.
Oh, really?
Now, I'm sure there's very,
move to California then.
But I'm sure there's very, very few people that can pass the bar without, you know, a lot of formal schooling. But I'm sure there's some.
You know what I like about that? You could go take it and flunk it four times, but hey, that fifth time you pass it, you're in there. So hey, I think that's great.
You can go to Stanford Law School and flunk it. You can go to Stanford Law School and flunk it four times. That happens.
Yeah. It's all about test-taking skills. It's not about being a good lawyer.
Well, my take on the legal system and courts is that to stay out of the court system at all costs,
on a civil level
as well as a criminal level, and if you get in it, get out of it as soon and quick as you can. Especially if you're of a certain complexion, you don't want to be in the court system at all, ever.
I agree. But a lot of these municipalities, these little small cities, are just they do whatever. They do a lot of things that are just unconstitutional. They break all types of laws. They do whatever feel like doing. They're like,
money
my brother got stopped on the highway. My brother's probably not doing, my little brother was probably doing something he didn't have no business. He had like $9,500. They took it. They told him he had to go to court to get it back. All types, just because he had it in his armrest in his car. The cop, you know, he wearing all these gold chains and stuff. Cop searched the car within his arm distance and got it and took it from him. So
there's no law against wearing gold. There's no law against wearing gold chains or having $9,500.
No. They didn't take the gold chains. They took the $9,500 cash.
Yeah, but
in the car.
Still, that's just, you know, that's ridiculous that they would do that. And if they're doing that under the guise of, you know,
if they catch you on the highway, if you're on an interstate and they stop you, they can take your money.
Well, yeah. The reason why they're doing it is because they're trying to say they have probable cause to suspect him of being a drug dealer or somebody who is
right. No, it's under the guise of stopping the drug trade, but it's still illegal and it's still unconstitutional.
That's unlawful searching, unlawful seizure. Anyway, I mean,
it's
you can't just take people's money. These cities and counties are doing this. Nobody's checking them. They just doing what they want to do. So.
Technically, if your brother did something to break the law, it gives them reasonable cause to search his vehicle. Say he was speeding, and they pulled him over. Now, to search his car, he could have easily said no, and then you have to get a warrant or you're just going to have to do whatever. But in their mind, they reason the fact that, okay, I pulled you over, I feel like you're doing something illegal, so I have the right to search your car, which is not true. So then they do use scare tactics to bully themselves into allowing a person to do that, because the person's like, I ain't got nothing to hide. Go ahead. I'm going to prove you wrong anyway. Boom, they find $9,500 in cash. Oh, you must be a drug dealer. Prove to me right now that you're not a drug dealer and you legally have this money. And if
that's
can't
against
prove
the law.
That, then under the law, they have a right to confiscate that.
No.
That's what I'm saying.
They don't have any
right
to do it. They just do it.
At that moment, they, under the current, under way certain laws are set, at that moment, they do have the right. But then your brother has to prove.
They have no right.
They have
no
right
to
take his money.
No right to do that any law. They do that. They do that knowing that if someone's involved in some type of illicit thing, that they'll probably just let the money go. And they'll rather not, they'll let the money go. So they're not doing it under any law. Or they may have some certain little statutes, but
that's
highly unconstitutional when it happens.
They have statutes that they try to use to do stuff like that. In their minds, they twist and they distort the law and they distort statutes for their own goal. Now, this person, I'm not saying that person was on the up, that police officer was on the up and up, because no, your brother shouldn't have to prove at a stop that he is legally allowed to carry his money. There is no law that says a person can't carry a set amount of money. But, you know, being African-American, they automatically assume that if you have that type of money, that you gained it illegally. So they use certain statutes and laws that protect them in that moment, because nothing is going to happen to them, that protects them in that moment until they get into the courtroom. And then your lawyer can say, you know, Your Honor, this was an unreasonable search and seizure. And have it dismissed. That's if you have a good
okay,
lawyer.
Okay, but my brother just let it go. Now, my brother just let it go. But how many people, let's say 50% of them let it go. You know how much money that is going into a plus? Not to mention they got $800-$900 tickets for you speeding on a certain, it's $400 and up for certain citations.
Ridiculous.
I mean, these people are just, I'm not lying, $1,500 for one ticket. Like, they write out that this is what they're doing. And so it's kind of like, I mean, nobody really, you don't have a defense. It's like you're just helpless. And I think that's where most people get screwed by government is on the county, city level. These people, man, I'm a victim. I mean, when I was down and out financially, I had to go through a lot of stuff to get these guys off my back. You could really mess somebody's life up with a few traffic stops, man. I mean, you could really screw somebody.
And there's certain people that are petty enough. Where I live, there's public parking lots that I park in, that are big parking lots. It's in the center of a small town, of a relatively small town. Now, there's rules about parking. At any rate, I've gotten into it with the guy who's putting stickers on my car that are hard to get off, and I told him that I live here in a loft and explain. And it got a little bit nasty because I stood up to him. You know, I'm like, you're foolish. You don't run anything. You know, you're on a mission with no commission. Go bother somebody else. But sure enough, they put little marks on my tires if I don't move the car every 3 days. So, no, you're right. The local government can be a pain in the butt because it gets a little personal sometimes, too.
When a police officer stops you.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hey, guys.
When a police officer stops you and takes money like what happened there, do you have the right to ask for a receipt for that?
They give you a receipt, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they always give
a
receipt.
They give you a receipt. Yeah, I think they give
when
you a
receipt. When you get stopped, you always get a receipt. You get a two-part copy.
Except
one goes to the court, one goes to the post, and one goes to you.
Except in the 80s in South Carolina when a speeding ticket was $28 cash on the spot.
Oh, I didn't know anything about that.
You don't have
let me
to
ask you this.
Jail,
so,
right?
So if you save $10,000 and put it under your mattress, and you're going to buy a car, and you get stopped, they can take your money that you saved that you put under your mattress because you don't have any – think about it. You don't have any real paperwork to show what
absolutely.
You did, right?
They can
sure
take
can.
It to you under drug law, absolutely, under the –
they have to have reasonable
– No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
Twenty years ago, 60 Minutes did an article about a black gentleman. He was a landscaper. He bought a one-way ticket to buy some trees. He flew in, bought the trees, and he was going to rent a truck and drive them home, so he had cash in his pocket. When he got there and he got to the airport, they stopped him. He had $10,000 cash in his pocket.
Mm-hmm.
They arrested him under some drug statute, seized his money without due process, and he lost it.
He deserves to then because there's no way that they're going to take my money from me. They don't have any right to. They have to prove that you had a bad intention they have to prove reasonable.
Not under these drug laws. These drug laws, I'm telling you, these drug laws have removed
Jeff, Sticks
your
is right.
Amendment
right. Sticks is right, Jeff. That happened to my brother.
I know better, but
hold on. Let me see this. It all depends on where you live.
It has nothing to do with where you live.
Tracy, I would
they
be
do that
willing
every month.
No, hold on. Jeff, it does make a difference of where you live and who you are and what area you're in, because just because the law is a law does not mean the law is followed by the way the law is written.
I understand all of this, but once again, like I said, for them to be able to keep your money indefinitely and you not get it back, they have to prove that you were involved in that activity.
If you go to court, we'll prove you'll get your money back. But who's going to go and go do all that and get a lawyer?
Here's the problem. If you're a small businessman like this landscaper was, that's all that man had in the world was that $10,000. So they take your $10,000 from you. Now you're in a strange city. You got no way to get home, and they got your money. What are you going to do to fight them people? Not a darn thing. Yes, they can under the drug law.
Cash around. Nobody in their right mind carries that kind of cash anymore.
Yes, they do.
You'd be surprised, Mike. You'd be surprised about people carrying that in pocket.
In their right mind, that's it.
You haven't watched.
But you'd be surprised about people carrying their pocket.
You haven't watched the Discovery show Fast and Loud about the guys that go around the country buying cars?
They carry cash.
A lot of people carry cash.
You'd be surprised.
Yeah, but they have a paper trail on that. They showed that they went to an ATM
Mike,
an hour ago.
No, they don't. Ain't no paper trail is a cash. And there are still people that carry their whole paycheck in their pocket.
Well, they're pulling themselves at risk.
For police officers, when it comes to probable cause, it's fickle because they can say, well, I saw you doing something, and that is considered probable
They can make that up
off
the top of their head.
You have to understand, when you get pulled over, you need to know where you are, because you can find yourself in a world of trouble with your cash gone. And if you don't have proof that you had cash walking in, you may not have cash walking out. That's just real. And you may get it back, and you may not get it back.
I have friends I grew up that really sell drugs. That is one guy from Dothan, Alabama. He knows all too well about getting money taken. Like, I've seen it. So they will take it, especially in certain municipalities, which is the point I was trying to make. Certain cities are these people, they do whatever they want to do, bump the Constitution, bump the rights. New York, for example, I know some of you guys like that, but they unlawfully stop people on the street and pat them down. I think that's messed up.
Stop
them. Okay,
here it is. If the police take your car, money, merchandise, tool, clothing, jewelry, medication, the police may permanently keep or sell property if they can prove in a civil court that you are that you have probable cause of that you're involved in this activity. And that could mean No, wait a minute. Once again, like I said before, there's no way right now until this administration is finished that they're able to do this legally. Now, if you've been guilty of trafficking in drugs before, or you've been named as a person of interest in something like that in an investigation, they can keep it under the he was probably doing that. Okay, but when you have
someone taking it at the form of like when you're arrested, like you're being pulled over, because what happened, what Alabama was saying was his brother was pulled
over, and
he had $9,500.
One at a time, guys.
Yeah, if you don't know, he was on break, Jeff. Let Diva finish.
Under
probable cause, they can confiscate that money at that time.
Hold on, because we didn't on here. Say that again.
I said, under probable cause, they can take that money at that time because of the drug laws. However, in court, you do have the right to prove that they took it illegally or they didn't have the right to take it at that time, and yes, you will get your money back. No one is saying that they can just keep it. We're saying that at the time no, that's not what we were saying.
That's what the others said.
Because I said,
I didn't say that.
Listen, and not only that, the onus is not on you.
If a person takes your money on the highway, you are basically, it's almost like you're guilty and you have to prove your innocence in court.
So you need to lawyer up and come prove that this is your $10,000.
Well,
if not,
you know,
we're going to keep
I have an experience.
I'm done for the day. We'll see you guys on tomorrow. God bless you. And the number is 347-945-5229. Please make sure you go out and vote if you have not voted already. It's going to be a low turnout, but you still need to go out and exercise your right as an American citizen. We'll see you then. God bless you, and have a wonderful day.
This time, it's personal. The local talk show that keeps you thinking about local, regional, national, and global issues. Let's get back to Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. Listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on News Talk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's T-R-A-C-E-Y and friends.com. Tune in tomorrow at noon for the next edition of Afternoons with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown,